it totally kicks ass. Strongest nation on earth. Nobody can kick our ass. Nobody can intimidate us because we don't give a fuck. We're motherfucking hard like a gangster with a 9x5. Except there's no 5-0 gonna roll up and beat our ass down. And we're not really criminals because there's no international law. No international law because there's no international courts. And there are no international courts because we refuse to recognize any court that might ever try to stop us from doing whatever the fuck we want. No trials, no courts, no laws for America. So we can do whatever the fuck we want. And we're not even criminal. Doesn't that fucking kick ass? What an excellent country. Excuses for whatever it is we wanted to do. We even tell the world it was because of human rights, or because the country was a dictatorship, or attack first. We don't do that anymore. We don't make bullshit excuses because we understand now. We don't have to justify ourselves. We don't have to tell the rest of the world shit. We do whatever the fuck we want for one reason and one reason only. Because we can. They can suck our dick. They can bend over and take it up the ass. Because the rest of the world is America's bitch. Half the world works for pennies a day to make us fat and rich. The deal is, maybe they get to eat, and we get cheap clothes, cheap oil, whatever we want. And if they don't like it, they can suck on it. Because the rest of the world is America's bitch. Because we are the lone superpower. And all the other little countries and continents are mere mortals at best. Kicks ass, and America doesn't have to answer to anybody unless and until God or the space aliens come to kick our ass.
Wow. King Missile is back. That is America Kicks Ass from King Missile's Royal Lunch record. And it's such a thrill for me to be able to play crap like that on the radio. You're tuned into the RNC Remix, and tonight a bunch of us are going to be remixing and discussing the convention coverage coming out of PBS. So if you're listening to the RNC Remix, we urge you to turn on your local PBS station, public television, Channel 13 in the New York area. Turn down the sound and turn up the RNC Remix. We'll be doing all sorts of things, including taking your phone calls at 201-209-9368. Bronwyn and Kelly and girlfriend Gretchen and listener John are all standing by, and they'll all be taking part. And hopefully you will be too. Stay tuned.
Firefighters Association.
In the opinion of the chair,
we'll see
the ayes have it. And the motion is agreed to. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table. The chair proudly announces that this convention's unanimous choice for the office of President of the United States is George W. Bush.
Thank you. impediment, impediment, impediment. Impediment, impediment, impediment. Impediment, impediment, impediment.
As we fight terror.
As we fight terror. Particularly.
Particularly in the Middle East.
In the Middle East.
They've got to build the institution necessary.
They've got to build the
I had the important job given to me of delivering the keys to the family car when George W. Bush came down from Harvard to spend Thanksgiving with his family, and they told me he would call from the train station, and I was to go meet him in the lobby and hand over the keys to the car. And came walking in the door wearing his Air National Guard flight jacket and cowboy boots and Levi's, and I handed him the keys to the purple Gremlin with Levi interior. He was not impressed.
And did you ever, ever dream that you would be sitting here tonight or anywhere tonight with George W. Bush being renominated for another term as President of the United States?
No, but I long dreamed that I'd be able to sit next to Mark Shields.
Well, you dream. You dream the small dreams, you dream the big dreams.
Exactly.
and then you live them. Yeah. Now, the president is, as I said, at a place in Queens. I don't think he's supposed to speak tonight. Is that right, Mr. Rogge?
No, he's just going to
acknowledge what has just happened. A reminder that is Michael Steele, who's the Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, who is presiding over this. And then once this is finished, we'll have a similar acclamation vote for Vice President Cheney, who is... Ray said, and we have said, will be the main speaker of the night, the key speaker of the night after the keynoter, Senator Sam Miller of Georgia. Well, I think it's going to be a while here. We had expected this magic picture. What have you done, Ro? Where's the picture?
It's coming soon.
It's coming soon.
We're building.
Okay.
We're building.
You can feel it building. Yeah. Right.
They're still working on some softball game, if anybody remembers last night's picture.
No, actually, the picture tonight is with the president of the New York Firefighters, who are endorsing the president today.
Yeah.
President Cassidy of the Firefighters.
I have been told in this, the magic earpiece I have in my ear, that the president's in place. They're just not quite ready to do it yet. So, convention going pretty well the way you planned it, Mr. Roth?
Yeah, going pretty good. You have some great speakers and a lot of enthusiasm, great meetings and great caucuses, and it's come along pretty well.
Everybody stayed on message?
I sure have. Bill Harris.
That's the voice of Karl Rove, the evil genius behind the Bush administration's media and campaign strategy.
There's been much made, of course, not only this convention, but also in the Democrats in Boston, about how every word uttered by everybody is pretty closely edited and monitored. Do you do that? Does your office do that here?
No, there's official proceedings which reviews those. That's not new, incidentally. It's been around since the 60s.
Sure. 72,
I think. Yeah. And, in fact, some of the people who have been involved for the last 20 years in the official proceedings are back again. I met a guy the other day who said his first convention was 64 in Cow Palace in California, and he's been involved in the official proceedings ever since. So,
did you learn anything from the Democratic convention that you watched?
You make certain you fill the day with news. Make certain that everybody does have a message that the American people want to hear, and spend more time talking about what you're for rather than what you're against. About, if you look at the content analysis on the Democratic Convention, for about every second that they extolled Kerry's virtues or values or record, they spent 2 seconds trashing the president and the Republicans, and that's, I think, left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
What would be the ratio here?
Substantially more balanced, and my suspicion is by the end of the convention we'll see it substantially pro-president and his agenda, and
Okay, so let me get this straight. Now, that's Karl Rove saying that the Democrats trash the opposition, but the Republicans don't trash the opposition. And this is coming the night after Arnold Schwarzenegger called the Democrats economic girly men. He called them pussies. And now Karl Rove, there he is. We urge people listening to the RNC remix to turn down the audio of your television set and turn up the RNC remix, as we will be carrying on and off Channel 13 WNET PBS's coverage throughout the night.
Sure, you can pick out one speaker in the Democratic convention. You mentioned Kerry's name more than you mentioned Bush, but I'm talking about overall. And the tone of this convention is clearly more aimed at extolling the virtues of this president, his administration, and their record than because we've got something to extol and something to advance and something.
The chair, after a party, appoints the following distinguished Republicans to officially notify George W. Bush that he has been nominated by this convention as its candidate for President of the United States, and to escort him at the appropriate time. P.X. Kelly of Virginia, Joanne Davidson of Ohio, Darren White of New Mexico, Brian Sandoval of Nevada, Candace Miller of Michigan, Gaston Catons of Florida, Suzanne Johnson of Missouri, Jim Clouser of Wisconsin.
Right, we will go back to
David
the podium
of Ohio,
when the
Iowa,
when they had the picture
Jim
of the president up there. The governor now is reading the official, it's an official step that has to be taken. P.X. Kelly, the first name, of course, is a former commandant of the Marine Corps. He's commandant of the Marine Corps under his father, under President Bush.
But I think it may have lapped over under slightly under Clinton. These are all activists and leaders in the Bush campaign.
Mr. Rove, you made some news today in an earlier interview with your criticism of what John Kerry said before Congress in 1971. You said you thought it was, I will paraphrase, what did you say? What is your point?
Well, I said, reflecting on John Kerry at his convention, said he was proud of his service in Vietnam, and he has every right to be proud of it, and we acknowledge that he served with honor and distinction. He also said he was proud of what he did when he came back. And what he did when he came back was to go before Congress and testify and say that members of the U.S. military in Vietnam raped and pillaged and burned villages and generally routinely acted like Genghis Khan. And I understand a lot of people who served in Vietnam and their families feel strongly about this. I had an uncle who served in Vietnam several tours of duty. He was a paratrooper, Colonel William Verheyen. And I don't think my uncle or the men who served under him were routinely acting like Genghis Khan. And I understand strong feelings about the war. I was a youngster then, but I remember how strong my feelings were. But I don't think that kind of rhetoric was justified, and I understand why people take offense at it. I do, as the nephew of a Vietnam veteran.
I think it's legitimate to bring up now in this presidential race.
Well, he brought it up himself. He said in his convention that he was proud of what he'd done in Vietnam and proud of what he'd done when he came back. He can't have it both ways and say the only people who can talk about me are people who agree with me and agree with what I said and did.
We lost all respect for any principle, for any rule of law. Time that we recognize that the Constitution of the United States, at length, and more than with any other single issue it addressed, dealt with the problem of the imperial presidency, the possibility of that, or crimes by officers of the United States. So they tried to provide the means by which we, the people, could protect ourselves from the imperial presidency. And there are six separate provisions in the Constitution for impeachment. The key and first one says that the president, the vice president, and other officers of the United States shall be removed from office upon impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, other high crimes and misdemeanors. It says shall. And for people who believe in the law, could it be less? Do we really think the rest of the world believes that our assault on Iraq complies with international law? Then where are the scholars that say so? Because they don't say so. They all say the same thing. It's the first crime against peace, because it is the first crime against peace. And here we're doing it, and not only doing it, we're threatening others right now. Because if you tolerate that sort of thing, you lose your self-respect and you lose your freedom. It's imperative that we face our duty to process impeachment. Do we stop it because it seems the war is over? Absolutely not. Do you stop after the crime? Too bad you couldn't prevent it, but you couldn't prevent it. You failed to prevent it. But if you don't do something now, how are you going to prevent it next time? Impossible.
That's ridiculous.
But the press ought to pay attention. There's been no mention of it.
Again, served our country and country honorably.
And here we have this incredible.
If you agree with John Kerry,
use
of violence to
threaten the future of the United Nations, violates the Charter of the United Nations.
You cannot do so. That's just not fair.
Threaten to continue.
We've
created chaos. We see our angry fists shaking in the face of other people that we used to proclaim have sovereign rights.
People are connecting into his position in Iraq more than it is.
I urge everyone who cares about the integrity of our Constitution.
I don't know. I think most times the simple
take back the Constitution by insisting that the House of Representatives, which has the sole power of impeachment, process impeachment proceedings now. The Congress will do what the people of the United States demand and do. They show no interest now because the media has shown no interest. The people are uninformed. They're unaware of the dimension of what's happened and what it portends for the future. But I'll tell you that I believe that there are millions and millions of Americans who would insist their members of the House of Representatives vote to impeach. Vote to impeach.
Convention ends. We're walking down the stairs. We ran into some of your counterparts in the Kerry campaign. They were ebullient because they thought
vote
the convention had gone so well. But I think most people, as you just suggested, think that some of the mood just evaporated because they had no structure,
vote
no policies
impeach
that anybody could remember 2 weeks later. So what are they going to be the three?
Bronwyn, I think, let me see, get your mic up here. Let's see. Oh, hang on a second. Are you there?
I'm here.
There you go.
Oh, hi, Ken.
Hey, Bronwyn.
So is this Karl Rove that we're watching live?
Yeah, that's Karl Rove, and I think that was David Brooks from the New York Times who just mispronounced ebullient.
The big gray pack of lies. Of course they don't know how to pronounce words.
Yeah.
I hate the New York Times, and I've lost track of which liars are which here at the convention. Like, every time I turn on the TV, there's another white, fat, doughy man lying, but I don't know who they are.
I think
Karl
that's
Rove.
Yeah, we're watching on PBS here. We got Karl Rove, the evil genius behind the Bush administration's media strategy.
Yeah.
And overall political strategy.
So he's like the chief liar.
Yes, he is. Absolutely. He is really the one who crafts the whole media and campaign strategy. He was the one who, I think it was in August of 2002, talking about the Iraq war. He said, you don't roll out a new product in August.
That's fantastic.
A product. Kelly is here. DJ Kelly.
Where is Kelly?
I like when they compare war to
a product.
To making money.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is.
They do make money. Look at Halliburton. Look at all the Halliburton subsidiaries.
Halliburton's going to get theirs. They're being investigated, and Dick Cheney's going down when that's done.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Those people love to bring down the bigwigs.
Those people.
What does the SEC and the federal government have to,
Well, the problem
how overlapped and in bed are they?
Well, the thing about Cheney and Halliburton is Cheney quit the board of directors of Halliburton before he became vice president.
Yeah.
So they can't.
But wasn't
they
the CEO?
Yeah.
And
prior to becoming vice president.
But doesn't he?
But Halliburton got the contracts, these no bid contracts.
Oh no, yeah. I'm talking about way before that.
Oh, stuff that happened while he was CEO.
Yeah, I see Bicycle Hero Jason. Hello.
Oh, Jason's back from another big day of protests.
Yay, come in and tell us about it.
Did you get arrested again today?
Yeah, look, he's here. He obviously didn't get arrested again.
They process you real quick now.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, they found out there's asbestos on the pier. In that old bus garage that they're throwing the protesters into,
uh-huh.
That special holding pen, it's an old bus garage and it's full of asbestos and motor oil, so they're like putting people through really fast now.
That might be better than some DJ's homes, you never know.
That's true.
So we have so much to look forward to on the television tonight.
Oh, what's going to be on, Uncle Ken?
Rick Santorum is going to be on.
Wow. And who's that?
Oh, well, you know.
In case some people don't know.
Is that like Sanctum Sanctorum?
You know what, we need a listener to call up who knows more about Rick Santorum than I do. All I know is that he's one of the Republicaniest Republicans out there right now. He's so Republican-y that they didn't even want him to talk during this masquerade show that's on TV right now.
Oh, I love them. Oh, they're the best.
I know. That is the best. Rick Santorum is kind of like the Patrick J. Buchanan of the modern-day Republican Party.
Now, what about the traitorous Democratic turncoat senator?
Zell Miller!
Yes.
He might be with us tonight.
Oh, they have such great names in the Republican Party.
Zell Miller is not a Republican. He's a Democrat. Oops. He's speaking at their convention.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Zell Miller is the Democrat who actually gave, like, the nominating speech for Bill Clinton in 1992. Because he thought that Bill Clinton was going to take the Democratic Party to the right.
Yeah.
And so disappointed in Bill Clinton was Zell Miller.
Excuse me. I can do that here.
You can do anything.
This
you
is
can
the
swear
anything
and
goes.
Stuff. Yeah, the anything goes mix.
I have this need to just
Kelly,
randomly say cunt into the
You cannot
the
fucking burp. You can do a lot, but fucking burping
is not allowed.
I could talk about poopy, but I won't, because
no,
this is
Kelly.
Politics.
No, there'll be plenty of time to talk
There's
about
no
poopy later.
There's no time for pooping.
Oh, look,
speaking of
Bush is getting the endorsement of the uniform. Of the
is
uniform,
that Sean Penn?
He's getting the endorsement of the Uniform Drunkards and Rapists Society.
It looks like Bush is actually there.
Listen,
he is.
Is that the garden?
He's in Elmhurst, Queens tonight.
Wow.
Bush is in Elmhurst, Queens in a firehouse. The firemen.
Because the firemen's union or whoever represents
gone
them
wrong. Yeah.
Officially is endorsing Bush.
Yeah.
But evidently a lot of firefighters are unhappy about that.
Well, they used to be heroes, and now they just get drunk and rape girls in the firehouse. So there you go.
Hey, guess what?
I don't have a really high opinion of the New York firefighters.
We have a call.
Some of them are cute.
Shall we go to the phones?
They're cute, Rowan, but they're dumb.
All right.
Okay, the phone number here is 201-209-9368. Maybe this is somebody who can tell us about Rick Santorum.
I actually am calling to tell you about a little bit about Rick Santorum.
Okay.
Great.
But this is an interesting story. I think you may all be familiar with Savage Love, the column that's in the newspaper.
Is that Michael Savage's column?
No, Savage Love. Dan Savage, he writes a sex advice column for some of the alternative weeklies around the country.
We know
it. Syndicate. Okay. Well, I guess Rick Santorum is one of the most conservative and anti-gay senators in the country. And so he decided to come up with a vulgarity named Santorum. And because this is the FMU stream, I guess I can tell you about it. So what they came up with is that through his column is that the frothy mixture of semen and poo that results during anal sex is now called Santorum.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And
who made that up?
Who determined
that? One of the people who wrote into his column.
Yeah, they had a contest, I think, in the column to
who's a fan of the column.
No, yeah, it's a fan of the column.
That's just almost like a gay bashing term or something. It's supposed to be like gross and offensive.
Well, no, I think it's just
it would be offensive to him because he's had it named after him.
Oh, I see. I wasn't sure if he was happy about it or not.
No, I don't think he's happy.
Because
I
would be proud.
Yes, I know. If they called it a Kelly, you would be proud.
All right, so get it straight. Santorum is the frothy gelatinous combination.
You didn't say gelatinous.
Burmy
How do you
poop.
Know that?
I've been told that it's gelatinous.
All right.
Sperm. Look, sperm is gelatinous enough.
Yes.
Can't we all agree?
Yes.
That sperm, even when it's not mixed
with poo,
is gelatinous. So it's not much of a stretch of the imagination to say that sperm mixed with poo is even more gelatinous.
Yes, the gelatinous frothy mixture.
Spermy poo.
And when it leaks out of your anus,
it's called a Santorum.
It's called Santorum.
Nothing's leaking out of my anus. I just want to make that clear. But
how do we harness the power
of Santorum?
Thanks a lot for doing this. I really, everyone appreciates it. Who's listening to the stream? I'm in San Francisco, and I've been listening to it all day at work. And
oh, cool.
It's at times depressing, I have to admit.
Yeah.
Like the conservative corner. I mean, a little depressed
that
today.
That was depressing because it was nice we could get an articulate conservative.
No, but Scott put together a pre-recorded conservative corner today, and it was great. I mean, it was depressing, but I really enjoyed it. He did a great collage of stuff. Well, anyway, what's your name, caller?
This is listener John in San Francisco.
Hey, John.
Mr.
Thanks
John.
A lot for your call.
John,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We have another caller here.
Oh, cool.
Spermy poop is our new cat. Catchphrase, Bronwyn.
Is it?
Santorum.
Is that what we're going to call
it? Santorum.
Let's call our show Santorum.
Kelly, we just named it Santorum, and now you're trying to rename it Spermy Poop. Come on.
You have to get Republican and everything and call it Santorum.
Okay.
So Santorum is going to be speaking. That'll be exciting.
I hope.
See what he looks like.
You know, I hope Channel 13 carries Santorum.
Santorum on the regular
On the regular
air,
show. Who would know?
Right?
Ken?
Well,
Ken?
Yes. Okay.
I want to ask.
You can say Santorum on FM radio until
that
word,
out what it means.
Until it becomes generally accepted. And once it becomes generally accepted, that it means the gelatinous frothy mixture which leaks out of a man's anus after anal sex.
Also known as spermy poop.
Yes. Once it becomes generally acknowledged that a Santorum is spermy poop, then it will be illegal.
Because I can't say all those big words, Ken said.
I just want to get I just want to get a clip of Ken saying spermy poop. Over and over.
Hi, you're on the fucking air.
Hey, fucking thing. Hey, speaking of spreading Santorum, I'm here looking at the dictionary definition of Santorum.
He said dictionary.
Wait, you're telling me that there's a dictionary that has Santorum in it already?
Well, what I'm telling you, to publicize Santorum, to spread the word, there is a website, www.spreadingsantorum.com.
Wow. People work so quickly.
The front page of which has the dictionary definition being the frothy mixture of lube and fecal matter.
That was good. The frothy what?
Mixture of... Go ahead.
The frothy mixture
of lube and fecal matter.
Lube?
Lube.
Lube. Okay, yeah. Like,
you gotta have the lube.
Like KY jelly, yeah.
Yeah, lube. Yeah.
Vaseline, okay.
No, they have
sperm.
Other lubes.
That is sometimes the byproduct of anal sex.
Sometimes.
I guess not always, but sometimes.
Oh. And why do you have lube on otherwise?
Well, Kelly, come now.
You don't
the last time you observed two men committing sodomy, Kelly, did not one of them, known as the bitch, have lube inserted before penetration is even possible?
Is this a test?
Yes, it's a test.
Oh, like you don't notice that when you watch men committing sodomy. What's your name, caller?
Eric.
He's afraid to tell us now. Hi, listener Eric.
Are you watching PBS where you are?
Hey, so Biatch and Red just came on the air. Who's that
I'm
lady?
Calling from Massachusetts, so I'm watching the Canadian stream, so I didn't get to see Karl Rove.
This is the governor of Hawaii, I think, is on. Thanks, Eric.
Secretary.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Should we check out...
Thanks, Eric.
Should we check
Secretary
her
Secretary of Labor or something.
Oh, Secretary of Labor, it says?
Elaine Cho.
She could be
somebody,
a good person.
Somebody turn up the volume on the TV set.
They've changed.
So exciting to be in New York.
Yeah. She's excited.
This is where I grew up and where my family still lives.
It's not Governor Linda Lingle of Hawaii?
No, it's Elaine Cho. They found another Asian woman.
Everyone has the greatest name.
Is it Jeanette Bradley, Assistant Convention Secretary?
No, it was the Secretary of Labor or something. Secretary of something.
Oh, Labor Secretary Elaine Cho.
Yeah.
There we go.
How can we make fun of her if we don't know who she is?
Look at her. It's not going to be hard. Would you stop?
Kelly,
stop
really.
The burping. You are so disgusting.
What's the frothy mixture of your burps?
Before my mother, that's the Kelly.
Sister and I boarded a freighter to join my father here.
Yeah. Everyone's
From
got a
where?
Fucking story.
It wasn't the Mayflower. It wasn't the love boat. But it brought us to this magical country. country and reunited.
Does everyone have to submit their speeches?
So yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I like this big feedback-y.
You know, earlier,
echoey.
Did either of you see the fireworks display?
No.
There was a huge inside fireworks display.
Inside?
Yeah, they had a fireworks display inside the garden.
It's nuts. Wait a minute.
What was that?
When that one band in Rhode Island tried to burn the place down.
Oh, yeah, Great White.
Great White.
They were trying to do a Great White.
Surprised by the doorbell. She's just like reading this thing. Okay, what I want to know is yesterday, you have the schedule of who's supposed to speak, right, Ken?
Yeah, I got
it
right here.
Do they change it from the time it's published?
They probably do.
Because, like, yesterday morning in the Daily News and the other papers, they said that, putting her down, thanks. They said that there were, like, no black people in the Republican Party and no black people, well, they said minorities, had been assigned to speak. And then last night I turned on the TV and it was nothing but like the lieutenant governor of Maryland, who is a black guy, and then they kept showing the crowd while he was speaking for like an hour and a half in primetime, and they kept showing the crowd and they showed like the same 18 black people over and over again in the crowd.
Well, they
so
all,
it's like,
you know,
it's like, did somebody read the paper and say, oh my God, we got to get a black guy up there, you know, and then they got some black guys up there. So they changed it? Did they like take somebody away in order to put him on?
I don't know, because today's the only real television schedule that I've been checking out here.
Okay.
We of course are awaiting the arrival of Lord Cheney.
Oh yeah.
Who will
what
be?
What time does that happen? Isn't it late?
It's
probably like 10:45.
It probably is going to be pretty late.
I saw at the Times website that it's 10:45.
Oh my God, Cheney doesn't come on until 10:45.
Maybe if someone can let us know.
Well, they have to like oil him and prepare him. You know, I mean, like he's got all those parts that aren't really human parts that are like mechanical.
Yeah.
From when they do things to him, and they got to like get him prepped for that.
I thought they just had to revive his heart.
Yeah.
Before he goes on.
Yeah, they have to like, you know.
He had his first heart attack at 37.
Really?
God,
yeah.
Why isn't he dead yet?
He's a sick guy.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, I bet they wish they could get rid of him. He's the great unifier, Dick Cheney.
Yeah, everybody hates him. Yeah.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen Dick Cheney speak at all.
Oh,
does
yeah,
he
speaks.
Talk?
He speaks. There's one side of his face that works.
And he had a heart attack, not a stroke. Oh, wait, did he have a stroke?
No, he could have.
No. Not a stroke.
No, no. Hey, if he had a stroke, would I be making fun of the fact that half his face doesn't work?
Absolutely.
No,
absolutely.
I wouldn't do that.
Why not?
Not if he had a stroke.
Why not?
Because if he had a stroke, you know, then he can't help it. And it's like making
there's
fun of
there's a lot of things he could help, and he doesn't, you know? He's an evil man.
He's the guy, he's one of the guys, I think, who's really calling the shots.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did you figure that out yourself?
Him and Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
And Pearl.
Ashcroft.
Remember the February, or when it was, I think last April, the press conference, and Bush got asked, you know, why are you appearing before the 9/11 commission with Dick Cheney?
Yeah, and he said,
and Bush says, because we want to answer questions. And the reporter actually asked a follow-up question. He said, no, but why are you appearing with Dick Cheney as opposed to appearing alone?
Because Dick Cheney has his hand up his ass and is moving his mouth.
And he's and he just
liquid dummy.
Bush, you know, he just stuck to the script. He said, because we have a lot of questions we want to answer, and we want to tell the 9/11 commission what
that's
we know.
Right, that's pretty great. Well, did you hear that Dick Cheney's doctor got thrown out of the hospital that he was allied with because he's a drug addict?
No.
Whoopsie.
Oh, you missed that?
OxyContin?
Yeah, and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. His doctor, who's we gotta try that. Yeah. His
just
doctor,
so we know what it's all about.
Don't they call it like hillbilly heroin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just such a contemporary sounding drug.
OxyContin. Well, Cheney went in for like his annual physical. I forget when it was. It was around the first of the year, I think. You know, because he has to get checked out all the time because he has all those mechanical parts. And his doctor, like, okayed him and said, you know, came out and gave this big speech and said, oh, yes, the vice president is absolutely fine. And I checked him out again this year, and he's very healthy and he's very strong. And, like, a week later, the doctor was, like, he had his, you know, was being investigated and thrown off the hospital staff and stuff, and he's had a long-time addiction problem. And there were some questions like, do you want this drug addict saying that the
maybe
vice
he's one of those
okay?
functioning OxyContin junkies. Wait, how do you, what's the drug?
OxyContin.
Contin.
It's one of the drugs that Rush Limbaugh also got addicted to.
Right, yeah. He was a big fat junkie too.
And Courtney Love.
Yeah.
And she's just a skelly junkie.
And many people.
I'm telling you, gotta try this.
I think the doctor had some other drugs he was doing too.
But when you're a doctor,
he had access to anything.
You know, you can do whatever you want.
A lot of stuff. Yeah.
It's some kind of synthetic heroin, I think. It's basically a synthetic opiate. According to this book right here, actually, A Pretext for War by James Bamford, on 9/11, when they finally figured out what was going on, you know, that we were under attack and there were still more airplanes heading for targets, they actually reached Bush, I think, who was on Air Force One, and asked him to give the order to shoot down the plane that I think was Flight 93.
Oh, the one
that had already crashed.
No, it hadn't crashed yet.
They shot it down.
No, well, that some people think that it was shot down.
But are we talking about the one that crashed in Pennsylvania?
In Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the Let's Roll one.
Yeah.
And it was headed, clearly headed towards Washington.
It was headed to the White House.
Right. Yeah, it was headed towards Washington, D.C., and they were finally aware of it, and here was one they could actually do something about. And they reached President Bush on Air Force One and asked him. He had to give the order to shoot it down or not, because it was a civilian aircraft.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bush actually said, ask Dick Cheney. Yeah, and then Dick...
You know what this is like?
And then Dick
it's
Cheney...
Like, go ask your father.
Cheney gave the order.
And Dick Cheney gave the order to shoot it down.
How can
so
that
awesome.
Be...
That's so awesome.
Why like, where did that information come from?
From the intelligence community. It's footnoted. I could stop and look it up and tell you where...
I just hesitate sometimes to believe stuff like that, because it just seems so...
Well, you shouldn't believe it because I said it, but I lent you the book, so when you get to that point, look up the footnote.
I'm going to read it.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
I'm going to be Miss
we can
Smarty
quiz her.
Pants.
You
we can...
I'm Miss Smarty Pants.
You're Miss Obnoxious Pants.
Hey, there's a new guy. A new guy on the television.
Whoa, who's that
can
guy?
Can I turn it up for a second?
Yeah, turn up the volume. I should have brought my remote for it.
You know, I am trying to watch this, you guys.
Why?
And by the way, if you want to give us a call here on the RNC Remix, the online number is 201-209-9368, 201-209-9368. You're tuned in to WFMU's RNC Remix, which runs until tomorrow night at midnight.
These workers get it. What's he talking about?
They Poopy know sperm. That government doesn't create jobs, regardless of how many promises Senator Kerry makes. But they also know that the next administration will play a critical role in creating the environment for job growth,
who
giving
is this,
workers
Ken?
The tools they need to succeed.
Let me try to figure it out.
This means continuing the Bush tax cuts, not raising taxes, just as jobs are coming
You know, if
back.
You watch this, you just sort of get in the zone. They're talking and you
it means more.
Stop listening, but you can't
this
turn away.
I think
it's like zombie.
It?
Yeah, they zombify you.
I think that this is Representative Rob Portman from Ohio.
Huh.
That's my theory.
Okay. But we don't lawsuits. Know. If you know who it is, call us and tell us. 201-209-9368. We weren't paying attention.
Goods and services in the world. American products.
And we will continue to not
pay attention.
That will kill jobs.
I see somebody coming in.
This means giving
is that?
The opportunity to
we
build
know who
their
that
skills
is.
To meet 21st
It looks like girlfriend Gretchen.
Not false hope. And empty promises that
you need a microphone, honey.
Of a changing economy. This means an aggressive energy policy that lessens
this
our dependence
hey,
on foreign oil.
Do I like to give a shout out to my man's Campbell Soup?
Above all, this means that we
DJ
need the hopeful,
Lemon
optimistic
Zest.
Agenda of George W. Bush.
Oh, girlfriend Gretchen is here to help us watch Republican National Convention.
I like offshoring.
Offshoring?
Yeah, that's how I like maximize my profits, yo.
This is going to get very intellectual.
You missed, you
I'm
know,
turning this down.
Gretchen, you missed when we had a listener call in and tell us the definition of Santorum.
Oh, this is something you would probably know about.
Yo, are we on the internet or on
yes,
broadcast?
Yes, we're on the internet.
Oh,
so, we can
so that's
say,
like pussy.
Yes, no, Santorum is...
Is that anus?
Yes, sort of. Ken, do you want to say what Santorum is and what it's named after?
It's the frothy gelatinous mixture of lube, sperm, and poop.
Mm.
which leaks out of the bitch's butt.
That's where the Dirty Sanchez fluid comes from.
That's right. Well, Santorum was named after a Republican who's particularly egregiously anti-gay.
And just a note to listener John, I think I'm missing your right channel.
Oh, yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, we have listener John here remixing the festivities as well.
We're going into a state of artificially induced.
Hi, listener John.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, look, they found another black woman. Oh, now they got a white guy. What's going on? Now they got all kinds of people.
Yo, Harriet Tubman was a black woman.
That's right.
This isn't the convention. This is PBS's.
Yeah, she's
she's a PBS person.
What do you call it?
Schwarzer.
PBS Schwarzer. Yes,
she's yours.
That's exactly what she is.
The reporter used a walkie-talkie for his interview. Everyone said he was a good dancer.
I'll be your private dancer.
You son of a bitch.
Look at that guy. He shifted position to show you, like, the
he was lifting his cheek.
Way from what the framers intended when they drafted the
Constitution. I love when they talk about
the framers.
The Constitution
says only that the vice president can cast tie-breaking votes in the Senate.
I like the Constitution.
The president is a successor. The vice president is a successor. The president can't fulfill the duties of the office.
Which is our more key issue right
I'm
now?
I'm pulling on your mic.
Is that a vice president, based on the way this has evolved, has been
so you don't have to lean down like that. We're all stoned by the convention, I think.
Yeah, it's really. They were more
sleeping. I will not accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
Yeah, John, I'm missing the entire left channel. I am not getting anything on your left channel.
I only hear it in the right headphone.
Make money.
I hear
make
it in the
money.
Center of my head.
I got it.
They have a constituency. And when you have a constituency,
committing antisocial acts.
Don't worry about the point you made about
do the same people go to the convention night after night after night?
I guess so, yeah.
So, like, I'm riding the PATH train, and there's, like, all these men wearing Homeland Security vests and hats.
Yeah.
And I thought, those guys look like clowns, yo. Wouldn't that be good cover to be a terrorist? Because they all had these big backpacks that were full of bombs and shit.
Yeah, so they could look like. I wondered about that myself.
Homeland Security, baby.
Sure. Well, what about all the guys like?
Timothy McVeigh was a white man.
Right. And he had camouflage outfit and all that stuff. Like, you know, like when I saw those guys in camo with the assault rifle standing next to the Metro North tracks.
You got excited.
Did you shit yourself?
No, but who said that those guys had to be like? You know, who
they're
says
ready
that,
for anything.
Who says that they're National Guard guys? How do you know? They don't have any insignia or anything. Anybody could just
yeah,
go
I experienced ammo. I experienced the same thing yesterday. Actually, no, this morning and Monday morning.
You mean if someone was impersonating one of these policemen?
You wouldn't even have to get a police uniform. All you have to do is get a vest and a backpack.
Yeah, but
no, Monday morning and Wednesday morning, just half a block away from here on the corner on the corner of York Street and Washington Street, as I was coming to WFMU, there's two officers of some type with automatic weapons.
Jersey City police officers.
They were
we
not.
Don't know.
I don't know. They were not identifiable as Jersey City police officers.
Really?
Yeah.
I showed my little note and my license, and he had his.
He was a Jersey City
his
cop.
His police uniform
but maybe
said
were,
it
but
was
maybe,
Jersey City cop.
Maybe they were. I was going to say maybe they were U.S. Postal Police because the post office has their own police.
Yeah, I don't think they have submachine guns.
You know, like Jesse Helms has his own police.
He's dead.
Oh shit! When did that happen?
Is growing food. We're the best.
Ooh,
world.
What's this guy talking about?
And it makes sense that if we're good.
I don't know. I turned
food,
down the.
That's okay.
There's too much going on.
I like when it's all hectic.
I like when you can.
It's like the VMAs, yo.
Oh yeah.
Oh, man,
we were,
I'm getting.
We saw the VMAs.
Oh, there's
they,
that.
Did you
that
see
hum.
The VMAs?
Hey,
Heineken. No, what's a VMA?
Video Music Award. Ken, no. On MTV.
Come on, Grandpa.
They did them down in
Miami,
yo.
And they tried. Okay, first,
fuck that shit.
They moved them to Miami to get them out of New York because of all the nuttiness here. So the day that everybody was flying in for the VMAs was the day that Bush decided to pay a surprise visit to his brother Jeb Bush, the Florida governor. So it was all locked down in Miami too. So they had trouble getting around. And then they did the VMAs, and the two Carey girls came on live, Vanessa and the other one. And I think her name's Alexis, right? We don't know.
I don't know.
I thought it was Chablis.
Chablis and Vanessa came on live.
No.
And then. Sure, no, it's Chablis Carey. It's don't you know?
Vanessa and Sanelsi.
Sanelsi?
Yeah.
Sanelsi?
Sanelsi Vellafane Carey.
Vellafane?
That's her middle name.
You're making that up. Sanelsi? I like Chablis better.
I like.
So they were there.
It's Chablis, Tiffany Amber.
Yes.
Heather.
Right. And they were there. And then the Bush girls were there on tape during the VMAs, and
God,
the
you
Carey
remember
girls,
it so clearly, Brian.
Yeah, sure, I know. I was watching it, and the Carey girls got booed. They got super
wow.
booed.
It was
there was
a lot going on.
There was a lot going on.
The audience didn't stop doing something the entire
when
show.
I'm, when
but
I'm wearing
booing,
Prada
yeah.
and doing blow, I want to vote for the Republicans, yo.
I don't think anyone in that auditorium was in the room in the mood for any kind of political message that night.
Well, you think that's why they got booed?
No, because they didn't boo the Bush girls. When they showed their tape and had them talking, nobody was booing. But when the Carey girls tried to talk, they got super booed.
Wow. I think they should just mud wrestle before
they
girls.
They should. They should.
And
people
that'll decide the presidency.
Yo, wet t-shirt contest. It's
yeah.
Florida, yo.
It should just be a vote of who's hotter.
Yeah, who do you think is hotter? The Bush girls, right? Cause
I think
yeah.
the Bush girls, because they're bad girls.
They're sluttier.
Especially the younger alcoholic one. Isn't the younger one who gets in trouble drinking? Just like
yeah,
her daddy?
But they're twins.
Oh, they're twins.
Yo, one is
one
like
looks so
2 minutes
more.
One gets in trouble for drinking and the other one does drugs in her room at school.
The one that looks like mommy does the drugs in a dorm room.
But yeah. it's
the
one of
like
the
dark haired one?
Yeah.
It's one of the Carey girls though. It's at some event was wearing like this sheer black gown.
Oh, yeah.
And then a flashbulb a camera with a flashbulb yeah. took a picture and she was essentially naked.
Oh,
right.
That's hardcore.
Yeah. So there's
was she pierced?
That was planned.
Is she pierced? Girlfriend dressed in
No, she wasn't pierced.
No, okay.
We know.
We know now.
Everyone does.
Think Jack Harry's pierced? Or you think I Prince Albert?
He might. I think John Edwards would be the most likely to be pierced of any of the candidates.
Yo, wait. It's going to be John the ticket?
Yeah.
Ain't he dead?
Yes, John's dead.
Yeah,
this
that was a blessing.
Different Johns.
All right. They're all the same to me. They're all a trick.
They're all a John. Every John is a trick to girlfriend Gretchen. Good. Good work. Who's this guy? David Brooks.
David,
he's from the New York Times.
Yeah, he's like...
Forget him. He's a loser.
He's like the new conservative on the op-ed page of the New York Times.
He's a douche.
Yo, he likes to eat my poop for like $2.50 a night. It's true.
That's so classy.
It's true. Right over there by the bridge.
I believe it.
He pulls up in his Lexus. I poop.
He eats it.
He eats that shit, yo.
Literally.
That gets me $2.50.
Oh,
good.
My
good
goodness.
Yo, he's op-ed.
He's op-ed. Yeah, MC op-ed. What's he saying?
Here in philosophy, you study after this election, as they do after every election, and ask the American people which candidate stands for which issue or which side of which issue.
Penis.
They're wrong half the time. They don't even know.
This is after they've cast
the vote. Exactly. Yeah. They don't know who's on which side.
I think, Jim,
Bush depends on that. Bush depends on people not knowing what he's for and against.
Yo, I hear he wears depends.
He probably does.
Because he's been fisted so much but in the skull and crossbones.
Gretchen, stop.
Reagan or Mondale or Mummy. Who cares more about...
What's our new word, John?
Santorum.
Thank you.
Who cares more about small business and farmers? Mondale.
Who are you going to vote for? Reagan. I mean, because they were looking for leadership that year rather than someone who was compassionate and caring. And the vote.
Oh, yeah. What's the theme tonight?
Mondale was like a pussy, yo.
We have an information overload about these fellas.
The theme tonight is a land of opportunity.
So the theme last night was compassion.
Yeah.
Can you turn this down?
Yeah, turn it down.
You can reach it. I like it all cranked.
John, I'm going to bring you back up, but we need more music, and you fixed the bad channel there.
I turned it down a little, but we can still hear them blather on. So last night the theme was compassion.
Yeah.
And the only
the first night the theme was fear.
Yeah, and then
it was. That was their 9/11 night.
And tomorrow night the theme is lies.
Every night is 9/11 over with these niggas.
Yeah, right. So I just wondered, like, if for compassion, why did they have Arnold Schwarzenegger for compassion night? You know?
It's a mercy killing.
He's like.
He put in everybody out of the misery.
His dad's a Nazi, so they think National Socialism equals compassion. I mean, I really don't get it.
Yo, those Jews were in pain, yo.
Yeah.
Yo, I like that Wisconsin cheese.
Look at, they're holding up the W for Wisconsin. Who's this pretty boy?
He's scary boy.
He's a representative from Wisconsin.
So even oh, yeah.
That's,
I remember him. He didn't tip very well.
That's Representative Paul Ryan of Wisconsin.
Okay.
Wow, they're moving through the speakers.
They're whizzing through them.
We're only four people away from Zell Miller.
Thank
wow. Thank God. So... So are people, like, who are watching this on TVs with the sound turned down, are they seeing...
We hope.
We hope.
It would be nice to prove that we have a listener.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to call us at 201-209-9368.
But if somebody's watching this with the sound turned down, are they, even though, like, we're watching Channel 13 from New York City, but people could be watching this anywhere and listening to this anywhere, are they seeing the same thing we're seeing? Because
well, yeah, it's pretty much the same.
No, they're seeing hand puppets.
If they're watching public television anywhere in the country, this is the feed they're watching.
Okay.
But if you go through the major networks...
Well, no, every major network... No, none of the networks have coverage at all until 10 o'clock. Tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're running Charles in Charge, Joni Loves Chachi.
Reruns of ER from...
Yeah, George Clooney's.
Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies. Right. He's saying Mackenzie. Wasn't there like Mackenzie Phillips?
Mackenzie Phillips, yo.
Yeah. $1,000 a year. And last
year, because of a tax cut... I showed her how to hit the vein.
Just heard that.
They had a tax cut.
I'm a little slow.
That's perfect. End up sending $1,200 in higher taxes to Washington
next year instead of keeping their money for their family. Those fuckers.
John Kerry claims he wants to reduce the squeeze on the middle class.
Squeeze.
But whenever he had a chance to do something about it, John Kerry voted no. When he had the chance to help families by reducing the marriage penalty, and
he cut their throats and fucked them. That's what he did.
Hey, we actually have a caller.
All right. We have a listener.
There's our one listener.
That's it. I just wanted to prove that to you. You do have a listener.
Thank you.
Why?
Don't leave us.
No, come on. This is good. This is the best.
Are you watching the public television feed?
Well, I don't even know what I'm watching. So it must not be because I got a commercial now. So, channel is that on? Is that on cable or something?
No, it depends on where you live. Are you in New York City area?
What's that?
Are you in the New York City area?
I'm in Brooklyn, yes.
Yeah, it would be Channel 13.
Wait.
Let me commend you for not even knowing what the public television channel is in New York City. I think that's good news.
Well, I have it hooked up to my VCR, so none of the numbers really correspond.
Oh, all right.
I guess I should know that that's 13 because it's 13 in about every city in the United States.
They have their little logo on
their
screen.
They have
their
logo
too.
In this really annoying place, so whenever they put up the name of somebody who's on the air, like the logo covers it, and you can't really see who they are.
Everybody does that now.
Yeah, it's
right. So it's this guy with the weird haircut with
he
the
looks
like
the crazy guy
part in his hair.
Yeah, he looks like he looks like.
Do you guys remember the movie
like
River's Edge?
Jr.
Yeah.
What's that creepy actor?
Oh, Crispin Glover.
He looks like Crispin Glover.
Yeah, he
is Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
Crispin.
It's like your creepy representative.
Wouldn't that be fantastic if crazy Crispin Glover came out for Bush at the Republican National?
Dennis Hopper is Republican. That was the most depressing day of my
life
when I found that out.
Is he?
I don't know if he's for Bush or not, but he actually is a bona fide Republican.
How can you collect art if you're a Republican?
Gotta go. Got another call.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
The phone number here is 201-209-9368.
Yo, his show is more popular than this one.
Yeah.
He got two calls.
Yeah.
He got two calls.
I didn't know Dennis Hopper was a Republican.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
None of the
Cooper.
Hollywood actors really will
Alice
come
Cooper.
Out because they'll be.
Alice Cooper's a Republican?
They'll be
Alice
so banished.
Cooper plays golf, and you know if you play golf, you're probably a Republican.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, Alice Cooper's been playing golf for years. He's been hanging out with Republicans. You know,
I like Alice Cooper.
I like his music.
We're not saying he's
I like
bad.
Him.
I like Bob Hope, but he's dead.
He was a Republican. They wanted Bob Hope to run for president for a while, except that he was born in England, so he couldn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they'll be changing that law soon enough.
I know.
Orrin Hatch is working on it as we speak.
Yeah, so that
because his good buddy Schwarzenegger wants to run.
Fuck you, asshole.
Ken, did Schwarzenegger really say girly man in his speech?
Yes.
Yes.
He did.
He called the Democrats economic girly men.
He should cut that shit out now. He's supposed to be serious.
He's going to
That was like the biggest that was the biggest
People
laugh of the convention last
People
night.
People loved it.
That's pathetic.
Calling them pussies? Calling the Democrats pussies because they won't spend us into the ground the way the Republicans will? Yeah,
but he didn't say pussy.
He called them girly men.
Girly men.
Kelly, girly men means pussy.
Oh.
Listen.
Because it's bad to be like a girl, Bronwyn.
Yeah, I know.
Because we're
girly
weak and
men.
Feeble and stupid.
Weak and feeble.
Except I cut you if you don't pay me.
I still can't believe Arnold Schwarzenegger's in politics.
No,
he blows my fucking mind.
I don't think he is.
And I don't think... I'm saying it now. He will be running for the presidency.
Oh, sure. I mean, Ronald
Absolutely.
Reagan. Ronald Reagan was an actor, and nobody
People must have been
seriously.
Shocked then, yeah.
Yeah, they used to come up with all those, you know, Bonzo clips and Ronald Reagan shilling for 40 Mule Team Borax and
but
stuff.
But at least Reagan was like kind of your pretty boy act, serious
at least,
actor.
At least he was born in
Schwarzenegger's
this
Schwarzenegger's like
in
a caricature of himself.
He was born here, yeah.
Schwarzenegger was born in Nazi Germany.
Yeah, Austria.
Same difference.
Well, it was at the time.
And Orrin Hatch
I'm
kept
Dominican,
saying...
I'm Dominican, all right?
They kept saying his name Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Isn't it Schwarzenegger?
It's Schwarzenegger. Zeke, Zeke.
I know. He's compassionate, though. He's a compassionate guy. Who else did they have for Compassion Night last night?
Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, they had Laura Bush.
Yo, did you see her? She had, like, green hair. Her hair was
Who?
Green.
Who?
Laura Bush?
Laura Bush.
She had green hair?
She had green hair.
I didn't see it.
It was like gamma radiation.
That poor woman.
I know. She has to get up there and talk about how great her husband is.
Why can't they get Bush to say nuclear, right?
I don't know.
I mean, it must be like a speech impediment at this point, right?
I think his hand
Dave left. Is joining us.
It's nuclear.
DJ Dave. Hi, DJ Dave. Look, he's left the broadcast booth. He's run amok and come up here to join us with the RNC stream.
Something Wait, what's going
wrong.
On the air?
Oh, nothing. Don't worry about it, Ken. It's fine.
No, that's what's on the air right now. I can see why Dave came up here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, who wants to listen to that?
Is that allowed, Ken? I put on a very long cut.
Oh, yeah, we're listening to it here. There it is.
Who's so got more listeners, Dave or us?
It's probably about the same.
Let's see. That guy who called before, he's on another call now.
Yeah, so he's
so
not
he's
listening to
technically
us.
Not listening.
And then Dave just put on something that sounds like that, so we know that he just lost all his listeners that he had.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all right.
I'm trying to shove people over to the internet stream.
That's good. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Well, least I can do.
We've been watching on TV a little bit, and so far we've seen some really strange, like we saw some guy from Wisconsin that looked like Crispin Glover.
Have you commented on this woman's hairdo yet?
I was just looking at her.
Oh.
They have some incredible women at the RNC.
But these are like the commentators from Channel 13, right?
Oh, right. Watching.
13,
so.
No less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
got like a comb over.
She's
got like a chick comb over.
We have pretty terrible reception here, but she actually looks on this TV a lot like Laura Bush. I thought it was Laura for a second, don't you think?
I think they all look like that. Yeah. When they're Republicanized.
I think Laura Bush's hair goes the other way.
Yeah, they.
Her part is on the other side, you mean?
Yeah.
Wow, you actually know that. Wow.
I think so. But I guess it depends on how the picture.
Her hair is really something. Her
this
hair
guy's
is
from the homeland. Hold on a minute. He's from Iowa. That's my homeland.
Mm.
Oh, right. I can't see crap through all the mics between me and the TV.
That's okay.
Not that it matters.
But I want to see this woman again that we were talking about, the commentator woman with her hair, because she's got a comb over. If
yeah,
you look, she's completely bald to like the center of her head. And that big part, look at that.
Wow.
She's like bald.
She's a PBS
got, like,
long-termer.
That means she's got a lot of testosterone, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I guess so. You can tell by the shoulders on that suit. You're like out to here.
Mm. And we have another caller with us.
Amazing.
Hi, you're on the air.
I can't believe I got through.
It is a shock.
Oh, I thought it was 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's hard to get through with all the calls we're getting.
I wanted to let you know that your demographics are more complicated than that, because I was listening to you, but then I had to move my car for alternate sides, so I was listening to Dave, and now I'm listening to you again.
But Dave's up here now.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, and
hey, don't
I'm
listen
really
to that other junk
for a minute. And you're playing the on-air live, and it's just. But as soon as you guys swear, then you know I know where I'm at.
Fuck!
I'm actually still.
I've always wanted to say a dirty word on the air.
Dave,
go ahead.
I'm going to.
We're really happy to let you do that.
What word would you like to say?
Santorum.
Yeah! Santorum, the new
dirty
word. I want
to hear Dave say a dirty word.
I'm actually still nervous. I'm sitting behind a mic, and this, you realize that you have this built-in...
Dave, say twat.
No, actually, Rich wants to hear me say. We were talking about Republicans before, and I said I called them pig fuckers.
Yes,
that's pretty good.
And Rich was dying for me to come up here and say that.
You know, I heard a little bit of the Dirty Duck last night, and he was like just going down a list, just like a list of all the Republicans. He was saying, "Does Ashcroft blow goats?" He's just blowing goats.
And we have a second caller on the air.
Hi.
Now.
Hi.
Oh,
hello. Welcome. Welcome.
I wanted to comment on the newscaster's hairdo.
Oh yeah, good.
Yeah, I used to watch McNeil Lear a lot. Now I watch it whenever I'm over at my parents.
Uh huh.
And that lady has had, like, an old lady hairdo for a real long time.
Wow.
And my mom, who is an astute observer of hairdos, figured that part of it is she has really big ears.
Oh.
And she has to continually cover up those ears.
Yeah, they are pretty big. Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, she also could be, like, 70. And
well, being a Republican, she's got elephant ears.
She looks pretty good.
That's
well,
true.
You're assuming she's 70.
She's
and
freakish.
Looks good. She's 50 and she looks terrible.
I think
you know?
She's probably like 35, and I think
really
she
big.
Always looked prematurely older.
Yeah, she looks like a prematurely
I like
old
how you
chick.
Watch PBS at your parents' house.
They're
yeah,
like,
I
they're like,
I
like
how
two
you
ages.
Would...
There are two ages of
yeah.
these TV commentator women, right? First,
what?
There's like the young baby. There's like the Maria Bartiromo age, and
yeah.
then there's just this
yeah,
amorphous
too.
Thing.
Cable
Everyone
TV
from Barbara Walters to this woman, where you can be, you know, 40 or like 85, and due to like the plastic surgery and whatnot, they all just kind of meld together, you know,
yeah.
once they cross
Hello?
Age 25 or something.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Yeah.
Could you hear Dave talking to you?
I don't think she heard it. That was my fault.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if you guys had put me on hold or anything.
Oh, no.
Like
listen.
No, you were there the whole time. We just forgot to feed Dave into your Santorum
fuck up
there.
Or sorry.
So when I said pig fuckers, no one actually heard
no,
that.
No, that went
everybody
out.
Everybody heard okay. it. It's just she's
you
on the
made
phone.
Made sure to let that go.
She's on the phone, and she didn't hear your
oh, I see.
Brilliant, cogent analyses of women.
I'm sorry. I missed that in context.
He did a great analysis of of what women newscasters look like, how they're either babes or they're that amorphous old age.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
but I can't do it as good as he.
Those are kind of your options when you're a chick.
Yeah. I'm going for old age now. I've decided I'm going to model myself after Mrs. Howell on Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah.
You can't go... like, I mean, I can really see it, you know? And I'm just going to start calling everybody sweetie. And
no, that has a certain appeal. Come on. Guys,
yeah, I guess.
Guys actually really go for
you're
if,
the
it,
person,
if it matters to
Dave,
you.
Dave, I mean, you're the person who told me that guys in England went for Margaret Thatcher.
That is a fact.
Do
that's
you know how many emails I got about that?
Did you really?
I don't believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean asking about it or confirming it or?
No, they were horrified. People were really upset about that.
I swear it's a fact. Well, I live there. I have a lot of friends in England, and this is a well-known thing. Well, just think about it. I mean, just think about how fucked up, you know, some of these kids,
like
guys are that went through the British schools. I mean, you know what it's like. And there's just a lot of guys there who really, really, I mean, liberals, you know.
Yeah.
Not like fascists who just fantasized about who knows what with Thatcher.
I
yeah.
think that's a wonderful thing.
Maybe giving it to her in the butt.
Doing a little Santorum with Margaret Thatcher. Yes.
Yeah.
Poor Dave.
I know.
I'm a conservative.
It takes a while to, like, break out of my radio
no
armor.
Kidding.
Here.
No,
it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
well, thanks,
difficult.
You guys.
Okay, well, thanks for
it's
calling.
Fun.
Thanks for listening.
Have a good night.
Okay, you too.
Go.
Bye.
See ya.
Good night.
You know, Steve Earle, I played his song on my show a couple weeks ago. Steve Earle wrote a song about Condoleezza Rice, and that's actually how Dave and I started talking about it.
Yeah.
Steve Earle wrote a song about how hot he thinks Condi Rice
that
is.
That was a pretty amazing song, yeah.
And she's a smart gal.
Sluggo agrees. He thinks that she's pretty hot.
She's got a big shoe collection.
Is that?
Does she?
She's crazy for the shoes.
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, she slipped once and referred to the president as my husband.
That
yeah.
was
well,
very, very scary.
They're probably
I read about
together
that.
Practically every minute of the day.
Yeah, I know.
They have,
you know. I mean, they do, in a way, have a relationship.
It's kind of like that Thomas Jefferson slave apartments thing going on, you know, Condi.
I cannot. Yeah, I can't. Women like that, it's just hard. I mean, no matter how hot she might be, I don't think she's particularly hot, but it's just...
She's pretty well,
yeah,
serious
but you like,
looking
but you
gal.
Like Mrs. Howell, man, so you
well,
gotta
true.
Like...
Well,
Brown, I think you should start
not
talking...
Not much in common there.
You should start talking like Mrs.
Talking
Howell.
Talking like Mrs. Howell? Yes.
It takes practice.
I have that Steve
love
Earle
it.
Song.
You do? Yeah, I know. Oh,
I want to hear it.
Yeah, I played it.
But you know what else?
What?
Ward Sutton, the cartoonist, just called me from Madison Square Garden.
Oh, he's,
oh
in
God,
the convention.
He's in the convention.
Yeah, should we call him back on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Woo.
So
that's
let's
like
listen.
The greatest thing we've
so
come
let's
up
listen
with.
To this Steve Earle song, Condi Condi. Maybe we shouldn't listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, it's awful. It goes on like this.
Yeah, it's
like
really
this.
Terrible.
It's a terrible song. Steve Earle's a good musician, but this is a terrible song. Yeah.
What does he
is
want?
Is it supposed to be a joke, or is he serious?
No, he's serious.
No.
Didn't he just say on your knees?
Yes.
He wants
Condi on her knees.
Or on his, he wants to be on his
I played game. The whole song, and I was sorry that I did.
So many possibilities.
It was really dreadful, but, you know.
All right, so let's call back Ward Sutton in, at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, how cool.
It's going to take
How
me.
Did he pull that off?
We could have just, like, we could have just, like.
He got a Village Voice press pass.
You could have interrupted us and put him right on.
No, he called my cell phone, so I have to call
okay,
back.
Oh, okay, all right, all right. Okay.
Logistics.
Can he get incoming calls?
I think so. I think we're calling his cell phone.
Okay. I thought maybe they'd have some secret magic way of, like...
They're listening.
...blocking calls. What are they doing in the convention now that we're just seeing these guys chit-chat? You know, like, we're not seeing what's going on the floor.
I think they try to spare you from the most boring rhetorical speeches.
Endless analysis where they just say the same thing.
Hello?
Hey, Ward Sutton, you're on the air.
Hey, great. Thank you. Please take me away from this god-awful, horrible band they've got playing in the convention hall.
Oh, they have a band playing.
Tell us about the band a little bit.
Yeah, well, they are, you know, this guy with short hair but a goatee, so you know he's edgy.
Oh, yeah.
And they're playing a song that the refrain is, I got a feeling, you know, and then, you know, they kind of improv once in a while and start chanting four more years. So.
Wow.
It's pretty
I hate the gang rape chant.
Yeah.
Any chant just sounds like gang rape to me.
That's Kelly. Hey, Ward, it's Bronwyn. How are you now?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I haven't talked to you in a long, long time.
Yeah.
So you got in there on some kind of press pass, right?
Yeah, I'm covering the convention for the Village Voice.
Why don't you do something crazy?
What's that?
Take your wiener out and just walk around with your wiener hanging out of your pants, but like nothing else.
I don't see any problem with that. Do you?
No, no.
That sounds like a good plan. I don't know. You know.
Probably
a lot of people listening don't know what I look like, but I have fairly long hair at this point and a beard. And
I was going to say fairly long something else.
There's probably a lot of Republicans that have never seen one of those, Ward. They would have no idea.
Actually, what I was getting at
is
that the first night I was here, I decided to kind of, you know, not try to, like, dress conservatively. And then last night I wore I have a couple pairs of glasses. I have a funkier pair of glasses I wore last night because I was going to the knitting factory. And it's like I got picked out of the crowd by the Secret Service and detained for a while. And
wow.
Everywhere I went, people kept asking for my credentials.
Just because of your glasses?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't. And
everything.
You know.
What about? I mean, your shirt and everything else were kind of straight. Just the glasses, or what?
And well, I was
your
wearing,
hair.
I was wearing a dark T-shirt and black jeans.
Wow.
And you know, it's pretty threatening.
Well, you're trouble right there, buddy.
So
yeah.
So the
you know, and you know, you wouldn't believe this too, because just before the cheesy band started, they were playing this infomercial that was like one of those late night infomercials.
Yeah.
With an African American woman like browbeating this crowd of people into voting for George Bush in a really condescending way. It was incredible.
Mm.
And
don't we assume that everybody who's inside there is voting for him anyway? I mean,
well, exactly. And it seemed totally redundant. But the other thing that's funny is that, you know, the woman was an African American woman in this video that they were playing.
Oh, look at that Reagan thing.
They're showing the Reagan thing now.
Oh, is there like a tribute going on now?
Yeah, that's what we're seeing.
Massive
giant Reagan screens.
And we have to walk back in and check it out.
Okay, but what happened?
But you know, I think it's pretty funny that Republicans are always complaining about quotas.
Mm-hmm.
But they must have some kind of crazy quotas to get so many non-white people on the camera all the time here.
Yeah.
I mean, think of all these neglected vast majority of white people who aren't getting the same opportunity. It's really sad.
Yeah, we were commenting on that a little earlier about how they managed to find, like, the lieutenant governor of Maryland last night just to enable to drag him up there and say, see, we have a black guy.
Well, I'm sure they had no problem finding him in the audience, actually.
I know, right?
Yeah, really. So have you guys been following everything pretty closely yourselves?
Yeah, not really, no. I wouldn't say.
Just kind of making fun of it.
Is a loose term.
Were you there when they tarred and feathered Michael Moore the other night?
I was.
Yeah.
It was pretty exciting.
Wow. I was
sitting right near the entrance where he was trying to come in, and all of a sudden there's this huge commotion. This crowd of people is gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking over and trying to figure out what's going on, and somebody said, it's Michael Moore. And they weren't going to let him in. And then I guess he proved that he had a press pass. They ushered him in, and it caused such a commotion.
Wow.
It zapped the energy from the room over to the corner where he was, and everybody was looking over here. And it's funny, you know, because McCain mentioned it in his speech, that Michael Moore, and it all just kept drawing attention to him. And then people were crowding in front of him, holding Bush signs in front of him, so, like, the cameras couldn't see him and stuff.
Wow.
And I have to say, you know, yeah, the crowd got to boo him, but I think in the end it works in his favor. I mean, the smart thing they would have done would have been to ignore him, but they were making a huge hoopla about him.
Well, Republicans aren't known for being smart.
Yeah. I've been noticed.
I think they're pretty smart.
McCain called him a disingenuous filmmaker, and then the camera went on him. But a big part of McCain's speech was how the Democrats and the Republicans should put their differences aside, because what we all want is to just have a safe, happy world.
Yeah.
So it was like a feel-good speech.
Hmm.
McCain's. Yeah.
So have you been there every night, Ward?
I have.
Oh, my God. How do you get through it?
Well, last night I went to the knitting factory afterwards.
And got wasted.
It felt so good to be down there. Steve Earle played, which was awesome.
Oh, no. Did he play that? Did he play his Condoleezza Rice song?
He didn't. I don't think so. I don't know that song yet. I haven't got the new album. But
oh, here it is. Really bad. Okay, that's enough.
That's it. Yeah, it's horrible. It's a horrible song.
So do you have any allies there with you, or are you, like, on your own?
I'm here on my own.
So are you, like, striking up interesting conversations with other people at the convention?
Not really. you know,
it's hard to relate.
My experience at the Democratic convention was a lot different. I mingled and talked to a lot of delegates and things like that. And for the purposes of what I'm doing at this one, I'm not really... I probably will do a little bit more of it in the next day or so. But
you should seek out the most fucked up Republicans you should confine and
get some good quotes.
You know, try to have like a, I don't know,
find out what their
deal
is.
A real heart to heart, yeah.
And Ward, you've already posted some cartoons about your coverage, haven't you?
Yeah.
You want to give out the address so people can see what your coverage is like?
Yeah, if you just go to villagevoice.com, their main page, there's a little, at the top of the page is a directory for all their convention coverage, and there's a place to click for my cartoon.
Okay, cool.
I've done two now, and I'm doing one tomorrow and one Friday. So
wouldn't it be great if we saw Ward on TV right now?
Yeah.
With his wiener out.
And Ward, what was it like last night when Schwarzenegger called the Democrats economic girly men?
You know, it was a really funny moment because I was fairly close to the stage, but I just happened to be looking at the teleprompter, and I could read it, and I saw the line coming up before he said it. And
wow,
I didn't,
that's great.
I was like, I can't believe this guy is going to say girly men at the national convention.
I'm with Ward. I can't fucking believe it.
He said it in a speech in California a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
He got in a lot of trouble for it.
Yeah. Well, in fact, no, it's not played out because he actually never said the term girly men.
Oh, it's from Saturday Night Live.
It's from Sprocket. Yeah. So, yeah, it was their imitation of Schwarzenegger.
But so, I actually did a cartoon back when he was still not even governor yet, making fun of him having that term used in the cartoon, and now he's like using it legitimately as political discourse.
That's what we call the alterniverse, Ward. It's when the things that you can't believe could possibly ever happen come true and become accepted and normal. You know?
Yeah, that happened to me when I was on the air a while ago, and somebody emailed me the news item about a tiny little diner in South Carolina that had renamed French fries Freedom Fries.
Right.
And I went off for an hour on that, and like within 4 days, it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the W ketchup now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a good picture of the W ketchup.
I don't know. Tell me.
It's incredible.
Yeah. I just have the picture of the W ketchup. What's the deal with that word?
What, I'm sorry. You know what? It's starting to get really loud here.
There's a Reagan in the house.
There's a Reagan in the house.
Yeah, Michael Reagan, I guess, is he still speaking, Michael Reagan?
Yeah.
Somebody's
talking.
Oh, God, as if we didn't see enough of this funeral.
Is that Michael Reagan?
Yeah, that's Michael Reagan talking now.
Now they're showing a video.
He's the good son,
yeah,
according to the Republicans. He's a conservative radio talk show.
You're seeing a video? We're watching some guy. Oh, it's on delay. Channel 13 is on delay.
Oh, I like these pictures of hardworking working class people.
We're not there yet.
Screwed by him. Oh, okay.
We're like a 21 gun salute kind of thing.
Channel 13 is on delay, so what you're seeing live at the Garden, we're seeing on delay through
TV. We're seeing the funeral.
And by the time we talk about it on the air and people hear it with the delay from the web, that's going to be super delayed.
God, I hated Nancy Reagan.
Yeah, she's nasty.
She's my number one most hated first lady.
Why?
I just wanted to snap her in two.
Hey, did you guys look like you could,
and I wanted to.
What?
Hey, did you guys hear about the protesters?
Which one? Oh, God, inside the Garden?
Yeah.
Yeah, were you there when that happened?
No, I'm so bummed. I missed it. That would have been the best part of the night, I think.
Yeah, I'm telling you, take
So what happened? Were there some, like, volunteers who got, you know, some pinkos who got in under the guise of being Republican volunteers or something?
I don't think they
were wearing T-shirts that had something to do with the convention, and they had some kind of passes that they either copied or something.
But they got in somehow, and they I think they bum-rushed the stage.
Well, there was one guy who got within 8 feet of Lord Cheney.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Rich kid.
Another applauding. Look at his sad old dog waddling across the line. There's Margaret Thatcher. It's too bad Dave had to go back.
Hey, Ward, are you still with us?
I am, but it just got really loud because they showed Reagan saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, and the place erupted into very loud applause.
So that's what the applause was. We're talking on the phone with Ward Sutton from the Village Voice, and he's at Madison Square Garden right now.
and I'm just reliving the fond memories of Ronald Reagan.
So are you going to be there tomorrow night for the coronation?
I guess so.
Wow.
Yeah, tough job, but somebody's got to do it. But I guess it's kind of a mixture of it's exciting in that I just get so much material here.
Yeah, right.
I hardly have enough time to draw as much cartoon as I want to cover it, but on the other hand, it's also depressing.
Well, what was the Democratic convention like? I mean, was that depressing as well?
No, they had moments that were maybe a little bit embarrassing, but for the most part, it was pretty exciting.
I think it's kind of telling that none of us watched the Democratic convention and were riveted to the Republican.
No, yeah, I watched a little bit of the Democratic convention.
Yeah.
Ward, are the Republicans using music in the convention hall the same way the Democrats did? Like, in between every speech, they would just, like, the Democrats would just pump the music out and get everybody dancing and stuff.
You know, they do it a little bit, but they don't do it nearly as often. There is a band. The first moment I walked into the hall the first day, it was this music that I swear you would hear in a dentist's office. And I met some other people from the Village Voice in there. They had a theory that they were using this music to weed out anybody who, you know, had any interest in culture. And it pretty much would have worked, but we stuck around. And then the acts that they have to play here, like the band I was talking about earlier. Last night they had this woman who was a surfer who was singing. Did you see that?
No.
A surfer?
I don't think they're showing the music acts on TV. They're just...
Was she a surfer? Was she a surfer of color?
No, she wasn't. You know, that they let one through. But it was... Yeah, it was a young blonde woman who I guess is like a championship surfer. And
was she the surfer babe who was bitten in half by a shark?
That girl's 13.
Oh, yeah, they wouldn't.
Her arm.
Yeah.
Was her arm being taken off?
Yeah, I don't think it was her. But the thing that was really funny is that, I mean, they're obviously so desperate to find anybody who's, like, young and has anything close to hipness. Now, they've got this surfer and had her sing. I don't know why. And she sang, "I Got the Music in Me," you know, that old 70s chestnut.
Oh, God.
And it was funny. And it was so painful because it was really long. She's a terrible singer.
Uh-huh.
Kept going on, and it's such a repetitive song, you know, and she finally ended, and it was like nobody even courtesy clapped.
Oh.
You could hear a pin drop.
That's cold.
Oh.
And she's standing on this big stage, like, looking around, waiting to kind of bow and stuff, but nobody's clapping.
Wow.
It was pretty harsh.
That's grim.
You should have gone nuts for her.
You rule.
You should have lit your lighter.
Yeah.
And have you heard about these Sex and the City T-shirts that people have here?
No.
Mm-mm.
They're
the Monolo Blahnik ones.
The what?
Go ahead and tell them. Yeah.
Well, the shirts that I've seen say they're black shirts, and in pink lettering on front it says Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, as in Carrie Bradshaw from the TV show. Carrie doesn't speak for me, and then on the back it says, and neither does Carrie, you know, John Carrie. And
they've got another one about Monolo Blahnik shoes.
Oh, really?
It says something like, I don't know, it ties in somehow to W and Bush and stuff, but I don't remember what those say, but something about shoes.
That all sounds terribly stupid.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird how they're intersecting in culture in weird ways like that.
Yeah.
Remember when... didn't President Reagan want to get Born in the USA from Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they played it at one of his rallies, and then Bruce Springsteen
announced
it.
I think Bruce got upset about that.
Yeah, that was a...
Because it's an anti-war song. I mean, you know, if you don't pay attention to the lyrics, it comes off as this patriotic anthem.
You can read into it any way you want. If you're a Republican.
The funny thing is, that was, you know, a real famous misinterpretation, and now Bruce Springsteen, as we know, is like doing these concerts for change for Carrie.
Right.
But I guess CNN, a day or two ago, my wife's son was telling me they had this thing where they were talking to following a Republican delegate around, and the delegate was looking at ground Non-Zero saying, this reminds me of that Bruce Springsteen song, Empty Sky. And as these Republicans were looking at it, they said, let's play that song, you know. And
it's oh, like, God.
So it's like they were totally doing it all over again, Bruce. Poor guy.
I think we have a caller who might have a question for you, Ward. Hi, you're on the air.
The question is,
hello?
Yeah, how do I avoid reconcile?
You know what? I
can't
hear you well enough. Can you say that again?
I think we lost somebody.
We lost him. Ward, you're still with us. Okay.
I'm sitting here because there's a...
They're going crazy at the garden.
There's a huge amount of cheering for... And everybody's holding signs that say the Gipper.
Oh.
We have one for the Gipper, and we've got this just soul-stirring music by Lee Greenwood. Proud to be an American.
Oh, God. An American hero.
Did you see Reagan and Nancy Reagan riding horses across the screen? Did you notice? I don't know if you know about horseback riding. Mm-hmm. They're riding in Western saddles, and they're posting during their trot, which is like English riding.
Yeah.
They are English horseback riders,
but they put them
in Western saddles so that they would get votes, you know?
Yeah, so they would look common.
Right, but obviously they couldn't shake it.
Yeah, obviously they didn't, exactly.
Their snootiness.
Could catch.
Oh, funny. Have you ever seen that one where they did they made one of these like propaganda videos to show at the convention? I think it was probably in 84 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they end it with Ron and Nancy walking away like up a hill, and she does this sort of like playful kick him in the butt thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that one?
No, I never saw it.
It's so disgusting because it's so obviously phony.
Yeah.
I was also just talking to a friend of mine who's got this kind of sick interest in going to the presidential libraries, but only the presidential libraries of like the evil presidents, like and Reagan and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, it's not worth it going to the good presidents, but the bad ones are really great. And he proudly wears this Ronald Reagan library shirt.
Wow.
It's like a polo shirt.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, tell me about it. What was it like? And the funny thing is, they have like this kind of film at the beginning when you go in about the Reagan years and presidency, like a bio, but it's all played by actors.
Oh, wait, I mean, so they have like actors portraying Ronald Reagan?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that the weirdest thing? Like the Hollywood president, like as if he didn't fictionalize his career enough in reality, but they have to even re-fictionalize it.
Well, they're fictionalizing it now with that hagiographic video that they just did, you know?
Yeah.
What's that guy wearing around his neck, Conwin?
That's called a lei.
A lei, right.
Too bad Gretchen's not here. She'd have something to say about that.
Yeah, Senator Orrin Hatch is on Channel 13 right now, Ward.
He's wearing a lei.
He's wearing
towards him.
A Hawaiian lei.
Do you see the old guy with the lei?
Have they been handing out leis?
I don't see any lays anywhere.
Oh, it's because that Hawaiian governor lady is going to talk or something.
He's the white guy with the gray hair.
Look for a white guy with gray hair in the crowd and you'll find him. He's wearing a suit.
Okay, that one.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man.
So I think coming up next we have the lieutenant governor and governor of Massachusetts.
Oh, my.
Mitt Romney.
Mitt, yeah. Who are both? They're both Republicans, right?
Yeah.
Better be.
And then it's Zell Miller.
Oh yeah, the swinger, the guy who's a Democrat but he's supporting Bush.
Are they serving liquor there?
No.
I wish. My God.
Yeah. What do they have?
You can't even get a beer.
When you want to eat something and you're stuck inside the garden, where do you go? Do you go to the little? Do they have like those little concession stands like they do at ball games and stuff?
Yeah, that's all they've got.
What do they have there?
Do you get like an $8 hot dog?
Yeah, exactly.
But like, no beer.
No beer.
I haven't seen it. I don't think they have beer.
Let them have beer. They'd cheer so much more.
Yeah, I think
really?
They're cheering enough.
Well, they don't have to worry. See, if you're a Republican, if you're on the inside, you can go into these little hospitality suites and get cocktails.
Oh, right.
Oh.
And I was just going to say, they don't drink beer. They drink gin.
Yeah.
They didn't serve alcohol at the Democratic convention, did they?
I'm sure they didn't. No, I don't know.
And have you seen the Al Jazeera banner? I read that the Republicans actually allowed Al Jazeera to hang their banner inside the garden.
Well, there's, yeah, it's actually like one of those lit up signs that has, you know, the kind of signs that, I don't know, it's sort of like a plexiglass and it has a printed side to it that's lit from behind.
Right. Uh-huh.
So they have one of those in front of their booth. And I'm actually sitting just a kitty corner below it. So some of the people from the Village Voice were invited to go up there and hang out, which they're pretty excited about. But I didn't get in on that action.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Maybe I'll, if I can rendezvous with them, maybe I'll give it a try.
It sounds like there's music in the background now, Ward. What's going on?
Yeah, they're playing a little cover of Casey and the Sunshine Band.
God.
Yeah,
they don't show the bands on Channel 13. As soon as the bands start playing, they flip over to the analysis, you know, with these same six people sitting around a table.
Because this is serious shit, man.
Yeah.
They have to talk about it.
No, that was my favorite part of the Democratic Convention was, you know, the...
Well, if we watched another channel, I bet they show... Oh, nobody's showing it?
Not till 10 o'clock.
What about C-SPAN? They show all everything.
That's cable.
Oh, we don't have cable?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's FNU, Bronwyn. Hello.
I don't know.
Do we have cable? Yeah, we got Playboy Channel. And
well, why not?
That's where those Mouse of Today pledges are going.
Pay-per-view.
What's that word?
Hey, a woman just stopped by and handed me a soft Dakota pin with a flyer that says, Dump Daschle, with an offer that I can donate money to get rid of Tom Daschle, Hillary Clinton, and Ted Kennedy.
Oh.
That's awfully nice of her.
That's great.
That's the weird thing here is you see all these things that people's little causes and every one of them is bad. Like, wow, really?
You are Ward at the Republican National
yeah,
Convention.
Right.
You must remember.
But for some reason, I just can't get used to it. You know, it's like even at the Democratic Convention, I had a hard time getting used to it. Like, wow, everybody here. Like people I pretty much agree with, you know? And then here it's like everybody at the Republican convention is people I pretty much disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very strange environment where you know everybody disagrees with you, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you're also amongst the most extreme Republicans. You know?
I'm sorry, the KC impersonators.
Oh, it's an impersonator.
Man, this
band
sucks. They're having a Casey and the Sunshine Band tribute band. And we have to watch these Channel 13 idiots.
Yeah, it's too bad. There's some great video monitor shots of really bad delegate dancing.
Oh.
Wow, we're missing the delegate dance.
That's the way. Uh-huh.
The delegate dance. Oh, I like it. Uh-huh.
What's our new word again?
Santorum.
Santorum.
That's the way. Uh-huh,
uh-huh. Santorum. Like uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's the way.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Santorum.
Poopy cum. Poopy butt.
Delegation is... I think they're having a hard time with this kind of funky music, so they're now all in unison waving their cowboy hats back and forth.
They don't know what else to do.
It's edgy, Ward.
Trying to create a line dance.
They just went to a commercial on PBS. They're doing a commercial for PBS on PBS.
Did you know that all the Texas delegates dress identically every day? Have you heard that?
No, that's really scary. So are they just wearing the same clothes?
I think they probably have different. Yeah, today they have different outfits every day. The first day it was a denim shirt and a cowboy hat. Yesterday it was a dark blue polo shirt and a cowboy hat. Today they're actually wearing suits and a cowboy hat.
Tomorrow they're going to be wearing brown shirts and marching together.
It's like a sports team.
Yes.
You know, sports team all knows when it's away.
Yeah,
they wear their white jersey.
Yeah, that's it.
Huge black marching boots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll be tomorrow.
Tomorrow belongs to me.
So if you left, would anyone know at work?
What's that?
Ward, if you just left the convention, would anyone know?
Well,
you should just come over here.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But it's cool because he can actually be there. Wouldn't you rather be there than be here and watch it on TV?
Not like, if I had to. You know
no,
what I mean? Like, if I could go there, I would, but if I had to, I wouldn't want to.
That's because you're stinky.
No, I'm glad to be here. I had to kind of fight to or not fight, but I had to lobby them to let me host these conventions. You know, they only, the way it works is news outlets only get so many press passes, and you can only get a press pass through a news outlet. So I've been talking to them since January about it.
Wow.
But
so you really wanted to go. See, Kelly, he really wanted to be there.
I wanted to go to both of them, yeah. I wanted to be able to compare them, see what the differences were.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Better you than me, buddy.
What's that?
Kelly's... I was teasing and saying better you than me.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, I'm a little jealous.
Yeah.
I've never been at a big crazy thing like that, unless it was drug related or... like, I went
to
see...
at a pharmaceutical convention?
I went to see Kiss at the Garden, but I got... That was a messy night. That was a good time.
I bet they didn't have Casey and the Sunshine Band reenactors.
They didn't, but there was a bar right near my seat.
Oh, nice.
Never good.
So, hey, have you guys talked to anybody who's been arrested yet?
Yeah.
Yes, we have an FMUer who has been arrested.
One of our FMU DJs was arrested the first day.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, he actually, I thought he would be like a Tasmanian devil about it when he got back here, but he was very...
He said he met some nice people in jail.
Yeah, and he said that the police weren't horrific to him, and
he got his bicycle back. Yeah.
It was very calm, and, you know.
It was our DJ Cosmic Cowboy. He was out riding with the Critical Mass bike riders.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of the ones who got arrested then. And he was in, he was held for, I think, about 24 hours, and then he got out with his bike intact, and he was fine about it.
Yeah, he got out kind of early, because when you're arrested and the weekend's coming, you're
going to
be in jail
like
till Monday, easy.
But he got out sooner than that.
Yeah, my upstairs neighbor's teenage daughter got arrested at the Critter and was kept for 24 hours.
Wow. That must have been scary for her parents and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty weird. I think it really pisses me off that they went so crazy on the Critical Mass riders. I mean,
yeah, that was
like all of a sudden bikes have become a terrorist weapon in the city or something. Really.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I wasn't very optimistic about what was going to happen to everybody else when that happened. But they seemed to calm it down. Like the big march. On Sunday was much calmer, even when those guys set that thing on fire, that dragon float on fire. Everybody was very calm, and the cops handled it well, and the people marching handled it well.
Yeah, I was really glad about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing too insane has happened, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's not over yet.
I think I better sign off here.
Okay. Do
a little bit of running around, but... Well, great. Thanks for having me on. Great to talk to you.
Don't forget, take your wiener out.
That's Kelly. That's Kelly's advice. My advice is draw good cartoons. And we'll look for them on the Village Voice webpage, and also when the Village Voice comes out with your coverage.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ward.
Thanks, Ward.
Okay, take care, you guys.
Okay, bye.
He's a professional. It's so annoying talking on your cell phone in such a crowded
venue. I know. He was really good,
wasn't
he? He told us a lot of good stuff. He told us about all the bands that are playing, which we don't get to see.
Yeah, the Casey and the Sunshine tribute band.
I know. I prefer to think of them as reenactors, Ken.
We got to get tickets in 2008.
That was Ward Sutton, Village Voice cartoonist who we were just talking to, who is actually at the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets to see all the between speech performances. That's the best part for me. And
yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, maybe at 10 o'clock we can switch to one of the networks.
And he's going to get to be hanging around with the Al Jazeera guys eventually. He didn't right away. But
with their illuminated signs.
Yeah, but, you know, they're not going to have any drinking because they're Muslim.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a fun crowd to me.
Yeah, I'd rather hang out with the guys from Texas. I bet they're going to be swigging them back. He should work on getting into, like, those... What do you call them, VIP rooms?
Oh, it's Mitt Romney.
Since he's alone.
Mitt Romney,
the Republican governor of Massachusetts.
He looks just like that other guy from Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think he's borrowing his haircut.
Is that like the new Republican haircut
that
they
have? Our country needs.
So this is when they go into attack.
4 months under enemy fire in Vietnam. Is John Kerry's record in his nearly 40 years since Vietnam? That's the question. Study that record.
I'm no fan of John Kerry, but I think we've heard enough about his fucking time in Vietnam already.
Yeah.
If you want someone who voted
Why do they keep bringing that up? Like it's a bad thing?
John Kerry's riding hard on having been there and then come home to fight against it. And the Republicans are basically saying that he's all bullshit what he did there, that he got his medals.
The Republicans are like making it sound like a bad thing that he was in Vietnam. And
no, they're making it sound like he's not, they're trying to make it like he's not the war hero that he's. He's,
but he is.
Well, of course, anybody who goes to war is like a hero because it's that's insane, you know? Who would want to be that person?
So
it's technically kind of despicable.
Who's that hoochie? There's a blonde hoochie and there's a big grinning man that looks like Irwin.
And if you think that during the
this guy looks like an infomercial guy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan is wrong.
I'm turning this down.
Why?
Right,
you want to hear it?
By all means,
hear
send
it.
In John Kerry.
Boo.
Senator Kerry now tells us he has a clear position on the war on terror. He voted no on Desert Storm in 1991, and yes on Desert Shield. Then he voted no on Trump funding just after he voted yes. He's campaigned against the war all year, but says he voted yes today. This nation can't afford presidential leadership.
I don't see why picking a... I don't see what's so good about picking a position and sticking to it if you find out you're wrong. You know, like
yeah,
if
but
you,
he kind of
if you have a position and then,
a lot.
Yeah, but if you have a position and then you find out, you know, the other information and you change your mind, I think that shows that you're smart because you're changing your mind. And if you like
maybe
pick a position and you just stick to it because you're never going to admit any other things about it, I think that's kind of stupid. Isn't it? I mean, like, well, how is that leadership to just say, well, I decided that we should bomb this country even though there's actually no weapons of mass destruction there? We should still have bombed them.
Well, I think their point is that he chooses when he wants to say he's on which side of the issue when it's in his favor.
Yeah, okay.
So that's not, you know,
that's
not good.
Okay, that's not good.
Our employers and jobs are threatened by low-cost, highly skilled labor.
If Kerry and Bush were having sex, who'd be pitching and who'd be catching?
Oh, Bush would be catching, totally, don't you think?
You think because he's shorter?
Yeah. Well, just because he's so wussy.
But Kerry's all tall and skinny.
Yeah, but
Bush
Kerry's,
is probably like
Kerry's
a,
like
a little wild man.
No,
he's scrappy.
I think Kerry would just flip him over like a pancake and go Santorum on him.
And Bush would go, Cheney, Cheney.
Yeah, exactly.
Standing up every challenge.
Bush is a girly man.
We must step forward again today.
Do you think that actually Ken is hitting buttons so that nobody hears the stuff we say? It's just we hear it on our headphones and, like, actually there's all this other stuff going on.
I'm happy if it's only us, even. That's how sad
That's
my
good.
Little life is.
That's good.
They're fighting for freedom and human rights.
Oh, I hate election time.
Why is it a just war?
We're fighting for democracy and liberty.
We're not. If we were fighting for democracy, we'd let them have their damn country back and they could elect who they wanted. We're not letting them elect who they want. That's not democratic.
I don't know what's going on over there with their government right now.
So who's Mitt Romney? Is he like the governor?
I just can't get over the freaking names these people have.
Mitt.
I'm Kelly Jones. How did I get that lame name?
Oh, what's the deal with the glasses?
That looked like the girl in the first Terminator.
Yeah, she was good.
Maybe it was. None of these people wear any color.
Well, he's got a blue tie.
They're all in gray and blue.
I thought the
is that TV?
No, I thought the deal was they were supposed to wear red ties.
Ken, you've been on TV. Do they tell you like certain colors you're supposed to wear?
Well, you're supposed to avoid white.
Like a white, like that guy's wearing a bright white shirt.
All
yeah.
These guys have white
he
shirts.
He shouldn't have ought to done that.
He should have had like a blue shirt on, like pale blue.
Yeah, and you can see how bleached out his white shirt is.
Yeah.
Where's my bag?
Oh, it's over here.
Can you hand it to me, please? Thank you.
And the phone lines are open, by the way, if anybody's listening.
Why wouldn't they be?
201-209-9368 is the phone number.
Hand this to station manager Ken.
I'm supposed to hand you this.
Oh, thank you.
Kelly's got implements.
Yeah,
of
Kelly
mass
saw me
destruction.
Taking my box cutter to my fingers.
Ken and I share the cuticle dicing habit.
Oh, okay.
Mine's anxiety related. I don't know what drives him
probably
to improve
us,
his fingers.
Have us on the air probably makes him do it.
But Ken used to work on them with a box cutter, and then I gave him the cuticle trimmer tool, and it has revolutionized.
That's good. Now, what's this guy talking about now?
His bunghole.
It's like... as the national anthem was sung,
but then the choir surprised him by singing a reprise of the last line. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner...
Do these things really have to be this long? I mean, the whole convention...
I just want to know what he's saying.
The conventions don't serve the purpose they once served. I mean, once upon a time, things actually got decided at the conventions that mattered. They actually, you know...
This is when they're technically supposed to officially... renominate?
No.
Yeah, they're supposed to actually decide who's the nominee.
Right, but they haven't decided in advance.
Yeah,
right.
Now it's all locked up ahead of time. But
they had a roll call going on during the day each day. It used to be they'd get to the end, you know, the end of the nominating process and
hey, we have a caller.
Nominated. Okay.
We have a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Santorum.
Yeah.
Hey, Santorum.
How you guys doing?
We're doing fine. How are you?
I'm great. I got big pools of Santorum pouring out of me right now.
Oh, no.
That's how good I'm doing.
Yikes.
I wasn't watching.
Hey, would you guys like to hear a little bit about Zell Miller?
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll take anything you got,
wow,
buddy.
Wow, look at that chick. She's like held over from the 60s. They just like put her in... Oh, God. I love it when they show the crowd.
Yeah, PBS is like, they're going for all the freaky-looking Republicans.
Yeah, they're showing.
For their cutaway shots. It's weird.
Yeah, it's
weird.
It's
great.
Anyway, yeah, tell us about Zell Miller.
Okay, in 2003, he voted along with the Democrats on 9% of the Democratic issues.
Wow.
And he voted along with the president issues 97% of the time.
Well, that doesn't add up to 100%, but okay.
And
yeah, 9 plus 97.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess some of the issues are the same, the presidential support and the party support.
Oh, right. Okay. That's possible.
Okay.
So he's like not really a Democrat.
Right. You know, I mean, here he is. He's a Democrat from Georgia. He votes along. Apparently, since 2000, he's voted along with the Republicans 90% of the time.
Why doesn't he just change his party? Dave's back.
Yeah, that's a good question, why he doesn't change his party. The Democrats want him to, obviously.
Yeah. Maybe it just looks better for the Republicans if they have a Democrat speaking at the RNC.
Oh, well, he's going to be officially nominating George Bush. They're not just having him speak. They're giving him one of the highest profile gigs they have there. He's the one who actually nominates George Bush to be the nominee. Tomorrow night.
That's because they like won.
Or no, maybe
over.
That's tonight. That must be tonight.
Maybe he's nominating Lord Cheney.
Can he get kicked out of the Democratic Party? I mean, what's going on here?
I think if they could, they would have done it by now.
So what's your theory about that? Did some money change hands there or something? You think?
Well, somebody earlier time, maybe Bronwyn, mentioned that she thought he was just essentially looking for a job at this point. And,
that wasn't me. Somebody else said that.
That's Rich.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a reasonable...
our listeners go, wait, listener, before you go, wait, can you look up who Russ Feingold is a senator for? I don't know what state he's with.
Yeah, hold on one second.
Sounds Jewish. It's probably somewhere around here.
F-E-I-G-O-L-D. You would think so, but you know...
Not Utah, I would say.
It'll turn out to be like Oregon or someplace. Although I know
he's... Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Wait.
Yeah, I am. Cool.
Wait.
I want to hear...
He's a senator from where?
Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Oh, right.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, you've got listeners. All the way from California.
What's your name?
Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Hey, Donna.
From San Diego.
I thought it was Petey.
I've been listening to you since yesterday. I love it. It's great.
Have you had any sleep?
Yeah. Not a whole lot because I'm doing graduate work, but I found you yesterday and I've been listening to you Since then.
Good.
I love it. It's great. It's really helping you be able to take this stuff, let me tell you.
But,
I mean it.
Well, imagine being in New York, you know.
I imagine. but then again, I wish I was in New York, come to think of it. I'd rather be there than sort of watching it out here. Mm. But you've got... If you think nobody's listening, there's this
really
I'm just
bad
joking. Music in the background.
I'm just joking.
No. I mean, okay, but I'm serious. There's this music playing, like, under under you guys talking that's really, like, it's like Chinese water torture.
That would be the baby elephant walk, I
yes,
think.
Yes, but it keeps going.
I love that.
Dave,
piece.
I think she's listening to your show.
Sorry.
No, I'm listening to you guys.
We can turn it down. Couldn't we turn that down?
I took it out of her. I took it out of her telephone.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. No. I heard it through my I heard it through my computer speakers before.
I think we're actually going for that.
Really?
I'm playing some jazz on my show. It's actually pretty inoffensive at the moment.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
But I was hearing all the time the woman that was on before doing the Patriot Act. I think
that was
Bronwyn here.
Yeah. It was playing behind her too. And
well,
it's like,
I was playing Sousa Marches behind me, but I did play that song.
Were you aware that the whole time you were talking, the record was skipping?
Yeah, I love that. Wasn't that best?
Yeah, I finally turned my I shut it off because of that. I said, I
thought it was great. I loved it.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it to you because I was enjoying it, but it's like, I can't take this anymore.
Okay.
Because it was skipping. But I heard it, too, just a little while ago when you guys were talking. And you gave out the number, and I said, I got a call. You got listeners?
So, do you listen to FMU on the radio? Our regular.
No, actually, I just found you guys. I am a transplant. I grew up in New Jersey, went to school in New Jersey and everything. And when I was back there, you changed a whole lot. When I was back there, FMU was part of Philly Dickinson University.
No, that was FUV, our sworn enemy.
Okay,
FDU.
Uppsala College, actually, is what you're thinking of.
That's it. You're right. Thank you.
The mourned late Uppsala College.
Now that you said it, you're right. Yeah, okay. And I said, wow, they're not part of them anymore.
No, we're all on our own now. We're completely listener supported, and we just do one fundraising marathon a year, and we raise enough money from our listeners to keep us going for a year.
Right on.
That's great. So I hope you'll listen during the marathon.
I've been listening, as I said. And I'm going to listen to it tomorrow.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Have a good night. Thanks
for calling.
See
ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was nice. She's Donna, was that her name, out in California? She hated that music, Ken.
Yeah, I'm looking for new music.
San Diego.
I like that music.
You know what I've heard?
I appreciate her honesty.
Yes, I like that she turned my show off because of the skipping.
I know.
I had a friend who was...
It was skipping. I was like, oh, good.
I had a friend who was forced to move to San Diego about 10 years ago. She got married, and her husband moved out there and just made her move. And, the thing that drove her crazy was it's a tremendous naval town, as I'm sure you know. And she just said the place was just crawling, infested with sailors, actually.
Probably safe.
And she was a newlywed.
Probably a very white clothes.
Bronwyn's place. Getting a little hot and sweaty here. But
Dave
no,
said
but
hot
she
and
was like,
no, that's
she
pretty
was,
good for Dave.
She was she just couldn't deal with it, you know. Just
that's like, a pretty that's serious that? Whitey town.
Let's see what we can. Let's see if we can get Dave to say something really dirty.
I know. I tried to get him to say.
It's really hard. You just train yourself, you know.
I know. I never swear in real life because I'm used to being on the radio.
Well, the thing is, you know, I actually have kind of a filthy mouth sometimes, but you train yourself when you're in front of a microphone. It's just impossible to say a dirty word because you just have to control yourself.
Didn't you always want to just blurt something?
Well, just
out?
like Tourette's kind of thing, or you have to give me some kind of context, you know. You just want me to say, like, fuck? For...
Yeah, I'm not big on
really.
Context.
No. Yeah, we know that, Kelly. We found that out.
I like the just blurting out thing.
Yeah.
Tourette's has its charms, I guess.
Yes. So, have you been watching much of the convention?
Me? I don't have a TV set.
Oh, that's great.
Fuck the convention. No. I'm just going to inject random curses into every sentence.
I used to not have a television set. I didn't have a TV set for like 10 years.
That's because you're fucking crazy.
It's hard for me to say it because it sounds like you're being like a smarmy, you know.
No.
I don't know.
But how long have you not had a TV?
A really long time. I have a TV set, but I don't have reception. I use it for as like a video monitor. I use it to watch, you know, rent videos, but I don't actually pick up TV. I could actually say here, couldn't I?
Yes, you could say what you do.
On this stream. No, well, I'll tell you later. Well,
sounds,
you know,
kinky.
This and that. There it is again.
That, I know.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
She's got skills.
I have only girls can do that. I have another friend who does that really well.
I can't do it.
You can do it. Is that it?
Close, Kelly.
That's not it. Now, here's this guy talking.
Is this guy non-white, or is there a problem with a tint here on his set?
I don't know. He looks so earnest, though. It's hard to tell.
Well, I think he's Indian.
Yeah, I was talking to Rich. Oh, this is probably common knowledge now, but if you want to just be set for the rest of your life, be black or gay or something and go out whole hog for the Republicans, and you just set.
No, but the Republicans,
I think they just use you and then toss you aside.
I mean, they only need like three or four of those, it's true.
But
they do.
The log cabin Republicans, that's the log cabin group.
Oh, yeah, they're screwed.
The gay Republican group. Mm. And they're really pissed off because they're being so screwed over during this convention. They're not being acknowledged, and there are all these anti-gay delegates.
Yeah, the Republican platform even came out against civil unions.
Well, you know.
So why are they Republicans? You know, what are they thinking in the first place?
Yeah,
what do they think they're going to get out of it?
All kidding aside, if you're gay or black or, you know, and you go out and you're Republican, you endorse Republican, you just deserve it.
You're
a fucking asshole, basically.
Yeah!
It's like, how can, you know,
imagine
a black guy saying, oh my goodness, you know, look what they've done to me. I thought that if I backed W, I would like advance the cause of race. You've got to be a complete idiot.
Exactly.
Hey, we have another caller.
Oh boy.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Dave the Spaz.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey,
Spaz.
Long time listener, first time caller. Really enjoying the whole week.
Yay.
Oh, thanks. Hey, thanks for giving us your show tomorrow night,
yeah,
by the way.
Nice.
Yeah, my show. Yeah.
we're actually doing an audio hijack of the convention coverage tomorrow night on the air.
Oh, so you won't be able to
say. So there won't be any delay. We won't be able to curse. But
no cussing, yeah.
That's going to be trouble.
Yeah.
Now that I've let all my inhibitions down.
But it'll be the best night. It'll be the best one. I mean,
are you going to do it?
The money shot.
Are you going to come out during it?
No, I got nothing to do. I'll be watching it on TV, though.
Aren't you going to come out and participate?
You know, if you want me to, you know, I don't know.
Well, I don't have anything to do with
sure.
it, but I think it'd be great if you did. I mean, all your listeners would like to hear it.
No, I'll let you guys work your magic.
Dave, they let me in on it. I think you qualify.
Okay, I'll be there by 8:15.
Good.
The only thing I thought of is just a reminder, I guess, just to listeners and all. Ken, I know we discussed this probably like a dozen years ago at some other election, but don't pay attention to polls. I worked for a pollster for 9 years.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
And there's still talk about polls. I was listening to Air America today, and they sort of rely on polls also. And really, it's like there's no such thing as an unbiased question. And there's always going to be somebody who, you know, is putting up the money for a poll.
I remember talking to you about this many, many years ago. I got some amazing – I still am like coasting off the information I got from you like 15 years ago. It was really fascinating about just how completely bogus, how worthless the information is.
The Republicans especially, and especially Karl Rove, is huge on a technique called push polling, where the real purpose of the poll is not to find out an opinion, but to implant some false belief in the person you're polling. And in fact, that's how Bush beat McCain for the nomination in 2000. They did this intense, if you recall, John McCain was winning after Iowa and New Hampshire.
Yeah, I was happy.
And it looked like McCain was actually going to be the Republican nominee. Well, Karl Rove went to work in South Carolina. Yeah, I would have voted for him, too. I'd vote for him over Kerry.
Yeah, I probably would, too.
But Karl Rove went big time into push polling in South Carolina. And the big question that they were asking all these people in South Carolina is, do you support the fact that John McCain has an illegitimate black child?
Right.
Which was a total lie. It was a complete lie.
But he doesn't.
No.
But you can even...
He has an adopted Bangladeshi child.
Yeah.
And they turned that into an illegitimate black child.
Well,
adopted
south,
Bangladesh
black.
Bastard black.
Bastard.
So confusing.
But it's, you know, they didn't even have to go to the trouble. They just could have made up those results and the end result would have been the same.
Dave, is
there's no commission watching people. Watching pollsters.
So, Dave, tell us some horror stories from your years as a pollster.
Probably the worst thing I ever did was after the Exxon Valdez spill. I had to, Exxon hired us, the Harris poll.
Oh, my God.
And we were owned by Gannett at that time. They hired us to sort of do, you know, like, make nice. Mm-hmm. And the only people we could talk to were the Fortune 500 dudes. And when we would get through to them, you would screen out if you were anti-oil spill.
Oh, right? Wow.
You know what I mean, anti-Exxon, sort of, you know? And we only spoke to people who were positive. And then in the news, like a week later, they were like, well, most Americans feel that it's not such a big deal. And it's really very
personal
and too much attention is paid to it. And really, and that's showbiz.
Yeah.
And that's how it all works, really.
Well,
and
these
and
minor
and
adjustments,
just,
these minor adjustments are necessary just to make sure that you.
It's really
Dave. You're shocking me with this information.
I had a polling job when I first came to New York. I worked for Senator Schumer's committee when he was first running for Senate, I guess. And we had to go out to his headquarters and call people on lists of people who had voted for him before and ask them if they were going to vote for him or Bella Abzug, because Bella Abzug was thinking of running against him in the primary. And I actually called his parents. I called Schumer's parents because they were on the list, and I had to ask Schumer's parents if they were going to vote for him or for Bella Abzug. And they said, oh, we always vote for Chuck. And then and then he took the results of this poll and convinced Bella Abzug not to run because so many people supported him over her based on this poll.
That's what I'm getting at. Is the whole idea of the polling process to almost make people think that it's over before it's over? And maybe if you were going to vote for the person who's not coming ahead in the polls, you're not going to go vote now? Or?
But here's the downside, and this is what put Lou Harris personally out of business, is that in 92, when Mondale only had like one or two states and everyone knew it, he went ahead and he, as we say, fudged the data and said that Mondale had a lot more states because he was trying to get the Democratic vote out because he was a staunch Democrat. He was,
you know,
instrumental
true?
In getting Kennedy in along with the mob, but I won't go into that.
Right.
So as far as Mondale goes, he called it all wrong, and then after Election Day, everybody took a look at the Harris poll and said, wow, they were off, but more than... unusually off.
93%.
Because the numbers are completely fabricated, and it was just his way of just trying to use the system.
Wow.
And it was
pretty
risky,
stupid.
And he lost. And he was he was basically fired from his own company.
Wow.
And Harris still exists as Harris Interactive or something.
Well, now there are all
big deal.
Now there are all these games, and everyone's always complaining and bickering about the election night results, and people are saying, now they're saying we're not going to announce anything, because it's hard to imagine, but I guess there are people out there who just, they're just such lemmings that even at the last minute, I mean, surely they've decided by, you know, 8 o'clock that night who they're going to vote for, but when they hear that so-and-so's winning, they just, you know, they don't want to be a loser, so they go out and vote for that guy. So, just control
that. People don't go to vote at all if they hear that somebody
or that, yeah.
I would think
actually,
that they wouldn't go out.
That
they would go, well, my vote doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Okay, that's true too, yeah.
That happened on the West Coast when Carter gave up when he was running against Reagan. And he, what do you call it when they give up? He conceded before the polls had closed on the West Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were standing in line to vote, and they announced that Carter had conceded, and they turned around and left. They didn't wait to vote.
Yeah.
They conceded. And there were Democrats running for local offices and state offices who didn't get Democratic votes because those people all went home.
Oh, right, because there's all that other stuff, too.
There's one other thing I noticed, and I haven't seen this picked up anywhere, that's at the Democratic convention. Weren't they broadcast on network TV 3 out of 4 nights? And it looks like the Republican convention is broadcast 4 out of 4 nights. Because I remember at a certain point, Giuliani was supposed to be on a Tuesday night, and there wasn't going to be coverage last night. And as it turned out, there was coverage.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
And I think, you know, liberal media.
I think actually...
Maybe it's just because they're in New York.
Both conventions are getting 3 hours of prime time coverage.
but every night, because the Al Sharpton wasn't on TV, and I think he's a jackass, but that was a great speech.
I hate that.
Wasn't he on TV?
No, that was a good speech. Did you hear his speech?
No. Hard to believe,
I try
really.
Not
you,
to
didn't, you didn't hear. Let me tell you. I heard it the next day on, I guess, BAI or something like that, and it actually was very coherent and really just a very, you know. He's a preacher. He can do a good speech.
Yeah.
And it was actually very good. It was on the money. It wasn't ridiculous.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention either. I know that the Democrats got 3 hours of prime time, and you're right. I mean, the Republicans are on every network pretty much every night at 10 o'clock, and then tomorrow night NBC is going to carry it for 3 hours. I guess they're all going to carry it for 3 hours tomorrow night.
Yeah, no, they're one of the Democratic nights, the Al Sharpton night, they didn't carry it at all. It just was reruns of whatever. My mother, the car.
I dream of Jean.
Yeah.
Zell Miller's hollering about the Korean Peninsula now.
I thought that was Alan Alda or something.
No, it's Zell Miller.
I didn't know.
He does look like Alan Alda. No, that's Zell Miller. He had an incredible...
He looks like the boss in The Simpsons.
If you were...
Doesn't he? What's the guy's name?
Mr. Burns.
Burns.
And if you recall, after the Super Bowl last February, when all the congressmen and senators were trying to outdo each other with the craziest possible FCC fine structure they could come up with, Zell Miller outdid them all. Zell Miller's proposal for indecency fines was that every radio and television station should be fined a nickel per listener or viewer for every bad word.
Oh, man.
Well, we're safe. No, just kidding.
Wow. It gives you something to chew over when you look at them, you know what I mean? What a genius. Wow.
That guy, that's the creepiest guy on TV so far, I see.
Oh, no, the night's young. Cheney.
So, Bromley, can I ask you a question here? You were job hunting for a while, so it's I. This guy is job hunting, because he's retired.
Oh, that was Rich's theory, right.
Yes. This is the best way to go job hunting, is to betray everything you believed 12 years ago or so, and then just try to get as much money as you possibly can out of it.
Well, I'll do that.
Well, get hired by the Republicans, basically.
Christian Broadcasting.
Yeah.
That goes against everything we believe.
Yeah, Christian Broadcasting.
Exactly.
I'll do that.
Ken, will you write a recommendation for us?
I'll write a recommendation for anybody, Rich. You know that.
Oh, yes.
Hey, Ken, did you ever figure out what they were going to give McCain for giving that speech? Do you think, like, he got a year's supply of turtle wax or something?
Simon.
I know.
Yeah.
I like
John McCain's speech.
I mean,
I like John McCain.
I didn't see the speech, but this story.
Yeah, but there's got to be something going on.
The bizarre thing, yeah.
Because
they just completely humiliated the guy.
No, he doesn't have to. He's the most popular politician in America. He can do whatever he wants.
And he had to get up there and pretend he liked Bush.
Yeah, I don't really think they like each other that much.
He can't stand Bush. McCain cannot stand Bush.
They haven't spent a whole lot of time
together.
The Bush campaign in 2000 accused McCain's wife of being a prostitute.
Yeah.
They accused his baby of being an illegitimate black child.
And
it was the most disgusting slur campaign. And, you know, and McCain was aware of what happened.
Well,
and then
he gave a hell of a speech, so what's that all about?
Well, that's what I'm wondering is what,
yeah, right.
what they've obviously
what
offered
did they,
him.
What did they find out that was actually true?
I think that just he's going to be Secretary of State or something. They've offered him some kind of...
Secretary
or,
of Defense.
Or he's being blackmailed for something.
Wasn't there...
Yeah, there's pictures of him with a sand, doing the same form.
On a naked pile of...
Wasn't there talk
of Giuliani?
Him as
that
Bush's...
Giuliani and somebody else were applauding.
Oh, no.
Bishop Giuliani.
And Bush. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to sign off and let you guys get out of the car.
Okay, see you, Dave.
See you, Dave.
Okay.
Come out
great
tomorrow.
Show. Thanks a lot.
Dave the Spaz, ladies and gentlemen.
Dave the Spaz. Oh.
Wow, it sounds good with the reverb.
Yeah, I like that.
It's like we're there.
Yeah.
The B-1 bomber that Senator Kerry approved.
Look at that brow on that guy.
Enduring freedom. The B-2 bomber that Senator Kerry opposed delivered airstrikes against the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Is that echo on the TV, or is it a function of something that...
I think Ken's doing it.
Oh, okay. It's kind of a Yankee Stadium kind of thing going.
Yeah, we need it. We need it for realism.
Yeah, this is really real.
It sounds like when they're standing at home plate announcing like, the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, we did a great job at Tora Bora, boy. Yeah, we really caught Al Qaeda there.
Proudest moment.
So Ken, question for you: October surprise?
You know, I think Karl Rove will do whatever he has to do that he thinks he can get away with. They might, at this point, I don't think they need an October surprise.
They might not. What about Florida? Are they going to pull another, you know, some sleight of hand down there? With the
Well, they're trying really hard. In fact, Doug Shulkin is doing an hour-long program tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a rebroadcast, actually, of an interview he did last week. Because Doug's wife is actually one of the lawyers who's working hard to uncover some of the GOP dirty tricks in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's tomorrow night from 6 to 7 or 7 to 8.
Oh, good.
It's hard for them down there.
I think Doug's wife was instrumental in getting Florida to release the new felon list.
Which
they didn't even want to release it. And they finally released the new felon list, and that's how they discovered that, gosh, it's all black people.
That's odd.
Yeah, and there's no Hispanics on it at all.
Isn't that incredible?
Because Hispanics in Florida tend to vote Republican.
Yeah.
Tells people who you really are deep inside.
That guy's got a chicken neck.
All these guys are wearing white shirts, every single one of them that I've seen today.
And red ties.
Well, no, the other guy had a blue tie, but they're all wearing the white shirt, which they're not supposed to do on TV.
Oh, who are they booing?
Oh, I don't know.
United Nations.
Oh, Jesus, fuck.
Oh.
This guy is only...
Not Paris!
Has only so ran primitive. With money raised from corporations.
They're booing France.
This is so unbelievably primitive. I can't believe we've sunk back to this, like, do you want Paris pulling the strings?
Dangerous outsourcing of all.
This is ridiculous.
This politician wants to be leader of the free world. Free for how long?
Oh,
this is great.
20 years.
This guy was actually a Democrat at some point.
Still
yes.
Is.
Yeah, he still is supposedly. John they kept him for some reason. They haven't
he's scary.
Him.
He's like
this is a hardcore
he's like
motherfucker,
a 1950,
man.
He's like a 50s.
Yeah, he's serious.
He took
these guys are the equivalent of those Kremlin, you know, like those Kremlin United photos, those scowling Kremlin Politburo photos
he's
from like the 50s.
Off, take off his shoe
senator,
and pound
he
it on
voted
the
to weaken our military.
United Nations slow as molasses.
And more clearly than his vote this year.
They should just send this guy to Iraq. He'd kick fucking ass over there.
United Nations won't.
He does not want that job. That's not one of the ones he's looking for.
Worse than Hitler.
What, Rich?
That is not one of the jobs he's trying to get. This is a nice, comfortable ambassadorship.
President Bush believes we have to fight today's war. And be ready for tomorrow's challenges.
Patrice Lumumba, worse than Hitler.
Is committed to providing the kind of forces it takes to root out terrorists.
Ho Chi Minh, worse than Hitler.
They may hide in or what rock they crawl under.
Che Guevara, worse than Hitler. Fidel Castro, worse than Hitler.
Watch her grab terrorists by the throat and not let them go to get a better grip.
Yasser Arafat, worse than Hitler.
They get a yes, no, maybe bowl of mush. They can only encourage our enemies and confuse our friends.
Saddam Hussein, worse than Hitler.
I first got to know George W. Bush when we served as governors together.
Sir.
I admire this man. I am moved by the respect he shows the First Lady. His unabashed love for his parents and his daughters.
Doggy style.
Ayatollah Khomeini, worse than Hitler.
That he is unashamed of his belief that God is not indifferent to
America. Oh, this religious crap.
Salvador Allende, worse than Hitler. Augusto Pinochet, not so bad.
I can identify with someone who has lived that line in Amazing Grace, was blind but now I see. And I like the fact that he's the same man on Saturday night.
Wait, it isn't Zell Miller flip-flopping if he was a Democrat?
There was just I think they were talking about a Santorum just there.
Yeah.
They said that Bush was the same man on Saturday night that he is on Sunday morning.
He is a straight shooter.
And where I come from, deeds mean a lot more than words.
Just his position, I believe.
I have knocked on the door of this man's soul and bound someone home. A God-fearing man with a good heart and a spine of tempered steel.
Spine.
The man I trust to protect my most precious possession.
His penis.
My family.
His penis.
This election will change forever the course of history. And that's not any history. It's our family's history. The only question is how.
It's the Confederates. It's coming back.
The answer lies with each of us. And like many generations before us, we've got some hard choosing to do. Right now, the world just cannot afford an indecisive America. Faint-hearted self-indulgence will put at risk all we care about in this world. In this hour of danger, our president has had the courage to stand up. And this Democrat is proud to stand up with him.
I have nothing to say, but I can say it very well. These words are too simple. I don't want you to know that I have nothing to say. So I will sing to you with words you won't understand, with a paradigm shift into a matrix of dynamic activity, with a hermeneutical synthesis with total transitional flexibility, with parallel incremental output, with dialectic...
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. So the question I wanted to ask before is, how do I not become a hate-filled monster at the prospect of so many of my fellow citizens eating this stuff up?
Excellent question.
I don't know, we're just kind of laughing at it. That helps, right? Realizing it's ludicrous kind of helps.
Because they think they're doing the right thing.
Well, sure.
You know, I don't think I don't think anybody agrees wholeheartedly with everything that either party is aiming for.
Yeah, but these guys are scary, Kelly.
These.
Well, what's scary is they're putting their mask on and not showing the real stuff, really. They're not bringing out the really nasty, scary fuckers.
That guy was pretty scary.
Yeah, but yeah.
I mean, you know,
but it's good to have. You can have a scary Democrat become a Republican on national television. It's okay.
I guess I rationalize, you know, the reason why so many people are supporting the Bush administration right now. It's just people are scared. You know, the United States was attacked on September 11th, and they just want somebody who's going to hit back, and they really don't care whether we hit back the right people or not. You know, they just think that Bush is hitting back.
No, I don't think that's true. I think they probably think he's doing the right thing. And I think they think that now might not be the time to change course.
Well, there's a lot of people that I think the Bush administration did an excellent job convincing people that Saddam Hussein was somehow involved with 9/11.
Which he was not.
Not a bit.
And people do think that. Yeah, people are convinced of that.
Yeah, I mean, the polls showed enormous numbers of people who thought that.
It's the whole reason that the Patriot Act got passed the way it did with only one person dissenting is that, you know, they just came in and said, we got to do something. Let's do it right now. Let's pass this law right now, this egregious gutting of civil liberties. And everybody goes, we got to do something. Let's do that. You know, it's the same kind of thing.
They went along with it because... They were afraid that if they didn't, they'd be attacked as unpatriotic and un-American. And what happened is that a lot of the Democrats who did go along with it, that happened to them anyway. I mean, Max Cleland voted for the Patriot Act.
Yes.
Everybody voted for the Patriot Act except Russ Feingold of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with the Democratic Party when somebody like Max Clinton, who actually lost limbs, can be declared to be unpatriotic by the Republicans and actually lose? What the fuck is wrong with those people? Those people are incredibly...
Well, he's the third Vietnam vet who the Bushies have gone after and, you know, somehow turned into a pussy. It was John McCain, Max Cleland, and now John Kerry. They do it over and over and over again. You know, when Bush and Cheney, you know, they fled into the National Guard. You know, they pulled their family's political strings and they made sure that they didn't have to serve. And yet they attack all these other people who voluntarily went and fought, you know, and were tortured in the case of John McCain. You know, injured and maimed in the case of John Kerry and Max Cleland. And then they just turned them into pussies.
But they must have really hated their experience or lack of it in the National Guard because of the way they're treating the National Guard currently.
Well, a lot of it seems to be the replacement of politics about the things that matter, like who owns what, with cultural things. And they're going to wave the bloody shirt of the 60s for the next 40 years.
Oh, my God, is Lord Cheney coming on?
Lord Cheney!
Oh, it's Lord Cheney! Thanks, caller. We have to go.
Say bye.
It's Lord Cheney. Turn up the volume.
I am Lord Cheney. Worship me, people of Earth.
They did, as she said. They met in high school. They've been together more or less ever since. She has supported him intellectually as well as all other kinds of ways that a husband and wife do. She, in her own right, is an author, written several books, including...
She's an author of several books, including that lesbian love story that's so hilarious, that lesbian love novel.
Got a new book out, a children's book called A for Abigail, and it...
And now she's writing books about children being patriots.
History.
You know about
Dick
that
Cheney
book, right?
Was actually born in Lincoln, Nebraska.
She wrote, Lynn Cheney wrote a book about lesbian love that's being a novel. And it's hilarious. It's all this purple prose. It was printed like about 20 years
ago. Wait, Dick Cheney's wife?
Yes.
Oh, here he goes.
Accepting the nomination for vice president. Renomination.
Thank you.
I'm sure glad Zell Miller's on our side.
Oh, because he's a stupid Southern cracker, and he appeals to the stupid Southern crackers of the earth. Oh.
Mr. Chairman, delegates, distinguished guests and fellow Americans, I accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States.
Going too far. We don't go too far. None of us will go too far. Maybe sometimes we went too far, but now we won't.
Oh, it's like a Nuremberg rally.
Thank you. I'm honored by your confidence, and tonight I make this pledge. I will give this campaign all that I have, and together we will make George W. Bush president for another 4 years.
Because we're real nice guys, decent fellows, kind gentlemen, considerate friends, strong men, and associates.
Tonight I will talk about this good man and his fine record leading our country, and I may say a word or two about his opponent. I'm also mindful now that I have an opponent of my own. People tell me Senator Edwards got picked for his good looks. His sex appeal, his charm, and his great hair.
He's going to use that same joke again. He's going to use that
joke. I said, how do you think I got the job?
He's used that same joke in every speech for like 2 months.
A liable partner. We don't make trouble, we like everything.
We celebrate the opportunities that America offers. I am filled with gratitude to a nation that has been good to me, and I remember the people who set me on my way in life. My grandfather noted that the day I was born was also the birthday of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And so he told my parents they should send President Roosevelt an announcement of my birth. Now, my grandfather didn't have a chance to go to high school. For many years, he worked as a cook on the Union Pacific Railroad. And he and my grandmother lived in a railroad car. But the modesty of his circumstances didn't stop him from thinking that President Roosevelt should know about my arrival. My grandfather believed deeply in the promise of America and had the highest hopes for his family. And I don't think it would surprise him all that much.
Imagine if Franklin Delano Roosevelt were running right now, well, how much fun they would have with the fact that he's crippled.
I have nothing to say.
It is the story of this country that people have been able to dream big dreams with confidence they would come true. If not for themselves, then for their children and grandchildren. And that sense of boundless opportunity is a gift that we must pass on to all who come after us. From kindergarten to graduation, I went to public schools, and I know that they are a key to being sure that every child has a chance to succeed and to rise in the world.
But I can say it very well. These words are too simple.
When the president and I took office, our schools were shuffling too many children from grade to grade without giving them the skills and the knowledge they need. So President Bush reached across the aisle and brought both parties together to pass the most significant education reform in 40 years.
Going too far.
With higher standards and new resources, America's schools are now on an upward path to excellence, and not for just a few children, but for every child.
I have committed no crime.
Opportunity also depends on a vibrant, growing economy. As President Bush and I were sworn into office, our nation was sliding into recession, and American workers were overburdened with federal taxes. Then came
things
the events
have been so
of
much
September
better since
11th,
these guys got
which
power.
Hit our economy very hard. So President Bush delivered the greatest tax reduction in a generation, and the results are clear to see.
He's a damn liar. If I get a hold of him, I'll break his neck.
Businesses are
before
creating
I go
jobs.
To jail.
People are returning to work. Mortgage rates are low. And home ownership in this country is at an all-time high. The Bush tax cuts are working.
I don't know what's so funny up there. And I busted my buns down here to get that money.
Our nation has the best health care in the world, and President
That's
Bush is making it more affordable and accessible
That's
to all Americans.
True.
Oh, he's talking about Iraq. They were going to give them health care.
I love America, but hate the government.
And there is more to do. Under this president's leadership, we will reform medical liability so the system serves patients and good doctors, not personal injury lawyers.
We're going to stop people from being able to sue for medical malpractice.
Going too far. We don't go too far.
These have been years of achievement, and we are eager for the work ahead. And in all that we do, we will never lose sight of the greatest challenge of our time, preserving the freedom and security of this nation against determined enemies.
None of us will go too far.
I don't want you to know.
There's that rape chant I love. Did you hear any of his speech?
No, I said I never heard Dick Cheney speak, and I'm not going to start tonight. He's done, right?
No, I think he's still talking.
Oh, I got to go.
Why aren't you?
to that I have nothing to say.
I don't care.
So, I will sing to you with words you won't understand.
Look at that weird background. The background.
That's inspiration.
I know, and I think it's just like a blue screen, and it just like projects.
Thank you all.
Do you think you could have
maybe a... sometimes we went too far. But now we won't.
Oh, dear.
Since I last spoke to our national convention, Lynn and I have had the joy of seeing our family grow. We now have a grandson to go along with our three wonderful granddaughters.
Not out of our gay daughter, though.
That's
right. With a paradigm shift into a matrix of dynamic activity.
And the deepest wish of my heart and the object of all my determination
is that my gay daughter will get married.
And all of America's children will have lives filled with opportunity. And that they will inherit a world in which they can live in freedom
and gayness,
in safety and in peace.
With a hermeneutical synthesis with total transitional flexibility, with parallel incremental output.
None of these people care. Look at that.
4 years ago, some said the world had grown calm, and many assumed that the United States was invulnerable to danger.
And gay.
That thought might have been comforting. It was also false.
It's like when you get
like
the
other generations of Americans,
fortune cookie
we soon
fortune
discovered
put in bed
that history
the
had unexpected
everything.
Duties in store for us.
In bed.
September 11th, 2001 made clear the challenges we face.
In bed.
On that day, we saw the harm that could be done by 19 men armed with knives and boarding passes.
In bed.
America also awakened to a possibility even more lethal. This enemy, whose hatred of us is limitless, armed with chemical, biological, or even nuclear weapons.
That's nuclear.
Just as surely as the Nazis during World War II and the Soviets during the Cold War, the enemy we face today is bent on our destruction.
Is it bent?
As in other times, we are in a war we did not start and have no choice but to win.
Doesn't it seem like he's president?
He is president. Yesterday, Bush said that the war on terrorism could not be won, and then somebody pointed out to him that he shouldn't be saying that. So today he said that it could be won and we would
firm
win.
Firm in our resolve, focused on our mission, and led by a superb commander-in-chief, we will prevail.
But now we won't.
See, he's wearing a blue shirt. Somebody
because
gave him the memo.
Because we're real nice guys. Decent fellows.
None of these people look happy.
The fanatics who killed some 3,000 of our fellow Americans may have thought they could attack us with impunity because terrorists had done so previously. But if the killers of September 11th thought we had lost the will to defend our freedom, they did not know America, and they did not know George W. Bush.
Kind gentlemen, considerate friends, and faithful associates.
But they're taking our freedom away.
Reliable partners.
I don't understand.
With dialectical interactional parameters, with functional logistical hardware, with idealized signification and communification, with integrated tutorialized cannons, with problematical notation and formalization, with a defined simulacrum of capability, with balanced
In Iraq, we dealt with a gathering threat and removed the regime of Saddam Hussein.
A gathering threat.
Seventeen months ago, he controlled the lives and the fortunes of 25 million people. Tonight, he sits in jail. President Bush does not deal in empty threats and half-way measures, and his determination has sent a clear message. Just 5 days after Saddam was captured, the government of Libya agreed to abandon its nuclear weapons program and turn the materials over to the United States.
We don't go too far.
Tonight, the uranium, the centrifuges, and plans and designs for nuclear weapons that were once hidden in Libya are locked up and stored away in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, never again to threaten America.
Oh, great. Just tell everybody where they are. That's genius.
The biggest threat we face today is having nuclear weapons fall into the hands of terrorists.
He's a prostitute wife.
The president is working with many countries in a global effort to end the trade and the transfer of these deadly technologies. The most important result this far, and it is a very important one, is that the black market network that supplied nuclear weapons technology to Libya as well as to Iran and North Korea has been shut down. The world's worst source of nuclear weapons proliferation is out of business, and we are safer as a result.
Who's that?
I think he's talking about Saddam.
No, but they didn't have nuclear weapons.
Well,
in the global war we are fighting,
time.
We owe a mighty debt to the men and women of the United
years.
States Armed Forces.
Aren't we pulling troops out of South Korea? And North Korea actually has nuclear capabilities, so I don't...
Well, that's what we've taught the world, that if you don't want us to attack you, you better get nuclear weapons right away.
Oh,
they
I see.
Fought
yeah.
the
okay,
enemy with
good.
Courage and reached out to civilians with compassion.
But if you don't have any weapons, we can say that you do, and then we do attack you.
They've won stunning victories.
I got you.
They've faced hard duty and long deployments.
He said duty.
And they've lost comrades.
Hard
More
duty.
Than 1,100 brave Americans whose memories this nation will honor forever.
He's not wearing white.
No, he's not.
Pink.
You got the memo.
The men and women who wear the uniform of the United States represent the very best of America. They have the thanks of our nation, and they have the confidence, the loyalty, and the respect of their commander-in-chief.
How long is he going to talk?
I don't know.
In this election, we will decide who leads our country for the next 4 years. Yet there is more in the balance than that. Moments come along in history when leaders must make fundamental decisions about how to confront a long-term challenge abroad or how to best keep the American people secure at home. We faced such a moment after World War II when we put in place the policies that defended America throughout the
Does
Cold
everybody
War.
Know that he
Those
really runs everything?
Those policies containing communism,
I think
the Turing attack by the Soviet
well,
Union,
I think there's a whole group.
Promoting the rise of democracy.
But I mean, the people that are sitting there on the convention floor that are delegates, they're actually in on the deal that
Yeah, I think so.
Bush doesn't really do anything.
Has reached another of those defining moments.
We have a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Under President Hey, my name is Jens. I'm... listening to the program, and it's very upsetting to me. I'm from Germany. This is the rise of fascism right there. This is the rise of fascism in the United States. Listening to Dick Cheney talk is so upsetting. It's like whitewashing their policies. They are misleading the American people. It is like unbelievable.
What can we do to stop him?
I'm totally upset. I'm scared. I don't even go to the demonstrations because I only have a green card. This is really, really upsetting.
How long have you been in? How long have you been in the U.S. now?
18 years.
Wow.
I mean, it's just like the similarities to. I mean, I'm shaking. I'm just listening to this. And it's so damn scary. these people are out of their fucking minds. I'm a little too emotional to actually extrapolate even a little bit further, but I am scared.
No, I'm
scared shitless.
I agree with you.
And this is not a laughing matter anymore. I mean, they're falsifying, they're falsifying international law. I mean, they're the UN, they're ridiculing the UN. They are, basically they're not behind their troops in Iraq. They're just not equipping them properly. This is like a national disaster that's on hand here. And I am scared. I'm going to get the hell out of here.
Where are you going to go? Yeah. Are you going to go back to Germany?
Well, I haven't lived in Germany in 18 years. I don't know. I'm Dutch and German, so I can go to the Netherlands or to Eastern Europe or I don't know where. But this is very upsetting.
What brought you to the United States to live? What made you move to the U.S.?
My father was an activist for the metal union in the 60s. From Germany, actually. He started some metalworking unions here in Queens.
That's a work?
And then he was drafted for the Vietnam War, and he got the hell out of here and went back to Germany. That's where I grew up. My sister was born in Queens.
So she's got...
This is so upsetting.
Right.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that this is happening here in this country.
What can we do to stop it? That's my question.
What can we do to stop it? I have no clue. I mean, they're lying, cheating bastards.
Right.
That's what they are. How do you stop, just like people who like grab the media and falsify information and falsify every single step of the war, every single step of the UN process, they just like lied to the whole world. And here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And there they are standing and saying, we are much safer. They have launched a war against Islam for the next 30, 40 years. That's where it stands. I mean, they're war criminals.
Yeah, they have committed several violations of international law, just in Iraq.
Yeah,
that's
how I look at it.
Yeah. Okay.
This is absolutely incredulous.
I think a lot.
I hope this election will like shift towards Kerry, because, as you said, Ken, before, I mean, it's the pathetic versus the total evil, and that's what
you got to go with pathetic. When that's your choice against evil.
Yeah.
As pathetic as Kerry is, I'm actually sending the guy money.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm doing the same thing.
I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry to be sending Kerry money.
No. This is
I don't know if
Germany
he's the
at
answer.
The brink of 1933. Well, when I watched the Republican inauguration at the last elections, and it reminded me so much of Hitler's grab of power in 1933.
Oh, take it easy.
In Germany.
Take it easy.
No, the difference.
That's
the difference,
absolutely
no.
Excessive.
No,
it's
no,
not.
No.
It's not.
I mean, in terms of its feeling and its emotions, they were standing there in front of their big statues, I don't know, in the White House, wherever it was. I've never visited the place, and then they pretended that in front of these like weird statues that they were just going to do good for America.
Well,
the
difference between Hitler and George W. Bush is that Hitler Hitler was actually elected. That's the
difference. Well.
What was he elected chancellor or something?
Yeah.
He was elected chancellor, by a very tight margin.
George
W. Bush wasn't elected
the existing
at all.
Government.
I mean, I'm just like dumbstruck to see this happening again, and it seems like the results are very close.
Yeah.
So
Well, get ready to go.
I think it's going to be very
close. I'm really freaked out.
Yeah, it is going to be close. A lot of people agree with you. A lot of people feel the same way you do.
A lot of people are looking into moving out of the U.S.
Not me.
But that's not the point, really.
Yeah.
What would it take, Kelly?
I bought it stuck in a house.
It would take
Brooklyn,
a lot.
So we could have internment camps, concentration camps for all Muslims?
No.
For all Muslims or whoever was dissenting. That's not the question, you know.
We've had internment camps for...
I mean, the whole smear campaign, against
World
the French and the Germans were during the war.
Kelly, did you know that the GOP is parading people onto Fox News arguing in favor of concentration camps?
Guantanamo Bay is a concentration camp.
In my book of rules. They had this Republican woman on MSNBC last week, and she got on there specifically to make the argument that it was a really good idea for us to have concentration camps for American citizens who were of Japanese origin.
And who is she?
I can't remember her name. She's a Filipino-American who works for the Republican Party. No, she works for the Republican Party.
They put her out there
to make this argument.
There are all kinds of strange voices in America, and they come from there. You know, I came here and I made it, and it's fantastic. Yeah, fine. You know, it's good when you make money in that, but you have to involve yourself in the communities. You have to involve yourself in, and you know, you have to look around. You can't shut your door, and you know, I mean, especially living in a metropolitan environment, you just simply can't not ignore your neighbors, you know, and there are all kinds of people from all different walks of life, from all different cultures and races, and you know, that's the beauty. I mean, first of all, that's the beauty of New York City, and I don't know much about America. I'm in the Midwest, or so. I haven't traveled much. I've been to Kansas, I've been to the West Coast, different story, but you know, I mean, literally the center of America is just indoctrinated by mainstream media, and that's basically what the Republicans have managed to control over the last 10 years.
Okay, thanks a lot for your call.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Kelly.
Somebody had to do it.
Kelly, God.
Is this almost over?
We don't have to air the video of Cheney. You're great, Kelly. It's like, thanks, bye-bye. Is this over? What the fuck? What the fuck else can we do? Go ahead, Kelly. It's all you.
No, put me back on.
You're on.
Oh. Is it over yet?
Oh, God.
This is a lot for my low attention span to handle 3 hours.
So Kelly?
Yes.
What would it take for you to leave the United States? Never did answer the question.
Yeah, what would it take for you to decide
take?
That
Come
you
on.
Have to leave?
Hold on, you guys are so eager to go. Go. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go and get a job?
That's the problem. It's a job thing.
Canada's
supposed
much,
to be nice, though. You know,
have as much individual freedom.
Canada approved medical
here.
Marijuana. That's very nice. You know, you can't pornography, but I'm married. I'm not saying
it's perfect. I just think, as governments go, this is a pretty good system. As fucked up as it is,
yes.
I think it is better than any other system out there.
Yes, but there are scary people in the government.
I'm not saying it's perfect.
The ones they're not showing.
But I
the one who has his boat
I
out
think
in the
it's foolish to say, oh, you know, it. We have a bad president. I'm leaving. This whole thing sucks. This is retarded.
They're not leaving. They're only leaving if he gets reelected.
Yeah, a lot of people say they're leaving, but they ain't gonna leave.
Yeah, right. I think a lot of people would.
I remember when I was a little kid. I think it was 1968. I was 9 years old, and Reagan and George Wallace were both running for president. It was early on in the campaign, and I asked my parents, you know, because my parents were, you know, getting me all riled up about the possibility of Reagan or Wallace, and I said, "What would we do if Reagan or Wallace become president?" And they said, "We'll move out of the country." And I believed them, you know.
Yeah.
And then guess what? Reagan became president.
Yeah.
And you didn't go.
And nobody in my family moved out of the country.
A lot of people won't go, but I mean, there are people that are, it's not just whether Bush gets elected, it's if this continual erosion of civil liberties, you know, just keeps going.
I mean, I asked myself, Kelly, I asked you that question because I asked myself that question. What would it take for me? Because I feel that after another terrorist attack in the United States, I feel that there will be internment camps for people who are Muslim or who appear to be Muslim.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it would take
another even minor terrorist attack that was caused by Islamic fanatics, and I think that there would be. And
I don't think in those extreme terms. You guys, I think, are more dramatic about what you think the real possibilities are than I am.
But I think that we're headed there. I mean, we already have the appearance of martial law. Twice this week, I had to go through a cordon of police officers with automatic weapons.
But I'm not upset by that. That doesn't bother me. It doesn't necessarily scare me or freak me out. It makes me think that there's a lot going on in this area right now. And the city of Jersey City, the city of New York are just doing what they think needs to be done to have some control if there were to be another emergency.
Yeah, that's not how I see it.
Yeah, we just have different opinions.
But what if they put a sniper up on the roof of WFMU? Would that upset you?
That would be kind of creepy, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure they have snipers on buildings around us.
I'm sure there's a ton of shit going on that we don't even know about at all.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, is this the RNC stream?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
us. It's listener Terry out in California.
Hey, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
How you doing?
Fine.
You guys are doing it.
Is this Terry the game show regular?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hi, Terry. Hey, thanks for all those great prizes you sent us for the marathon last year.
Oh, no problem. I hope they helped out, and I hope everybody got their fair share of them to
Did
go
Terry
out
send
and
the ugly
theme.
Dolls?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, those are great.
Well, Terry
thank
was
you.
Responsible for the ugly dolls.
Thank yeah. you so much. Those
oh,
are
you're,
fabulous.
You're
Terry,
welcome.
Many people have the ugly dolls. And
excellent.
It's great. Thank you.
I'm so happy we could be of service. You guys are doing a great thing here. It's making this... it's the spoonful of sugar helps the poison go down. Holy crap. It's just amazing to watch these guys just get up there and lie and lie and lie.
I think it's best to do in small doses, too.
Yeah.
Like, I need a drink.
Yeah. You guys don't have anything.
I need to leave here. And
you're not at the garden, though. I mean, you should
no,
be able
no,
to
but
no,
but
poor Ward Sutton's there.
Yeah.
I have an obligation to be behind my mic and... We didn't get enough beer.
You put it out in public. That was the problem.
Yeah, you should put a call out to have somebody bring beer down to the station or something.
We've already got a stalker waiting outside.
Is there a stalker?
There was one.
Possibly.
Possibly. We think he's gone now. I think he's out there.
Someone who came to the station who called earlier, he was told not to come. Brian asked him not to come.
According to a news account last month.
Anyway,
I'm going to get a double.
Yeah. Ask a Boston police. Well, I just wanted to call and say, thanks. This is a great public service. And are you archiving this stuff?
Well, we are recording it, but we don't know whether we're going to put the archives up. But there are listeners who, if you go to the FMU message board, there's a listener who's actually been posting archives.
Yeah,
and then,
I got that link yesterday.
That's been great.
That's a nice...
We might put the archives up. We're not sure.
Yeah. Well, there's been some great stuff, and like I said, it's an excellent public service.
Terry, did you hear the Radman Chris T craziness?
No, not yet. No, my friend...
Get on that.
Bruce has an MP3 he's sending me of that, so...
Yeah, that's a whole lot of good feelings once you finish listening to that.
Excellent.
All right, thanks a lot, Terry.
Okay, take care.
Terry.
Keep up the good fight.
Thanks.
What was the greatest thing about that, Ken, was it their arguing and screaming match just became like a bed for you after a while, and you're like, okay.
It was so weird for me to have these two people like...
They were going crazy on one another.
Die in hell, cocksucker! You know, it was just like,
fuck
it was just
you,
the most vicious screaming.
Piece of shit,
and I didn't
asshole.
Have to do anything. I mean, we weren't on the air, technically, so I didn't really have to do a thing. And then, in fact, what I did is I left them just fighting, and I left the studio. I left the studio, and I ran downstairs to Studio C, And then it was down there that I, like, faded them down and talked over them and then went into the next program.
Yeah, but I think first you were like, okay, guys, and they kind of stopped. And then you're like, no, no, you can keep going. And I'm just going to, like, go into the next program. And then they picked right up where they left.
Well, then when I came,
then
then I came back and they weren't on the air anymore. And those and they were still going at each other's throats.
Wow.
And I finally got their attention. I said, guys, you know, you're not on the air anymore. And then they stopped. And then Radman just suddenly came out of it and said, all right, thanks, Chris, man. That was great.
Wait, so did you hear Radman's voice?
Yes.
Does he sound like who I think he is?
He's from the South. He's from Tennessee. He grew up in Tennessee.
He gives his full name, and he says where he's living, and he used to live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Chris seems to know who he is. I don't.
Huh.
I don't really know what the big debate is about who he is. Oh, there, Cheney's going.
Oh, Cheney's done. Lord Cheney is done.
See, I'm all by myself on this whole thing because everyone's either for Bush or for Kerry, and I'm like stuck in this zone between thinking they both kind of stink and they both kind of have some things that I think are...
You're not alone. I think they're both terrible. I think Republicans and Democrats are both awful, and I don't think people should vote for either one unless they really believe in it. And I think if I used to tell people not even to vote because it's such a cancer or tuberculosis
choice.
If you have to vote, you should vote for someone you believe in. And if you don't have any candidates on the ballot that you believe in, write in your grandma or whoever you believe in. Write in station manager Ken. But, you know, vote for who you believe. Don't vote for these losers just because those are the two that you're given to choose from. I mean,
it's going to be so close, I feel like I have to.
That's not how I feel, though.
Yeah, I feel like
I have to pick, you know, and put my vote in for the one that's got... There's two people who have the real potential.
Yeah,
I've got to pick one of them.
I can't vote for somebody I don't think is any good. You know, they have to persuade me, one or the other of them, that they're worth voting for. I'm not going to vote for them. Why should I?
Right. But you can hate one, but you have to loathe the other.
That's it. That's kind of what it comes down to.
I think it's okay to hate Kerry and still support him. I hate Kerry, but I'm sending him money. I'm actually going to go to some parties where I'm going to start calling people and urge them to vote for Kerry
because I'm that.
No, I mean, you're not losing me. I just think that the whole Iraq war and 9/11 has been completely fabricated.
Well, it is.
You know, and what does it take? We're spent so far $150 billion on a war that was built on fabricated evidence.
Right.
Isn't that enough to vote for somebody who's a mediocre politician just to stop the bleeding?
Not to mention the people that have died.
Well, you don't agree that it was built on fabricated evidence.
I don't. I think there might have been wrong information, but I think Saddam was the best thing we've done in a long time.
Well, some of the wrong information was published in the New York Times.
But it's very, very upsetting to me about how many people have died and how much money is being spent, and I'm not sure that country's going to come out any better for it.
It's going to start a whole regional war in that part of the world.
It could.
Yeah, so is that a good idea? Is that a good idea to go into a tinderbox like the Middle East?
Time will tell. I don't know. I don't have the answers, you know.
They're making fun of Purple Heart winners. There's something extremely morally wrong by that, especially by people who always hold the higher moral ground.
That's fucked up.
Politics are fine when politicians are taking on other politicians. But going after other things is just wrong. I mean, they're passing out fake Purple Hearts at the fucking Republican National Convention. People are making fun of it. Doesn't matter if you believe about Kerry. There's a lot of other people who have won the Purple Heart.
Well, they both are going to do despicable things to one another. That's what they do.
Yes, well, you know, that's fine. Bring it back so it's like the Romans. Let them fucking assassinate each other and leave everybody else out of it. That was the only good thing about the Roman Empire. Politicians learned to kill each other and leave other people out of it.
I don't think so. I think they went to the Colosseum. I think the politicians had box seats.
Oh, there's quite a few assassinations in the Roman Empire, though.
I think while they were burning the Christians like candles at the top of the Colosseum, I think the senators were pretty safely ensconced in their little, you know, in their
right.
Little
but now the senators are Christians, so what do you do?
This is the post-war show now with Mark Shields and David Brooks. And I guess the Cosmic Cowboy's coming on to do more live radio here on the
great.
Red Stream.
Great.
And we got one more phone call.
Oh.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Sound like me during the marathon.
A couple of things. First of all, I think it's imperative to have side-by-side or even overlaid Chris Key and Radman with Peter and Raymond from, Shut Up, Little Man.
That's exactly what it is.
It was
into another dimension. I mean,
Chris Key and Radman were beyond Raymond and Peter.
They were.
I was actually shocked at how, Radman just wouldn't stop spewing horrible things at Chris. He would not stop talking.
That's great.
And I didn't think he was that full of hatred or whatever. He's such a
I don't buy Radman. I think he's a put on. I think he's a character.
No, really? I assure you he's not.
I really don't think so. I think he's the absolute real deal.
I can't believe
you can't fake that, dude.
But have you ever heard the word chode mentioned so much in a conversation of any kind?
Chode,
constant.
Well, I never heard chode before at all.
I'm not sure.
Chode in same form.
It's the same as paint, but is gooch something different, or is gooch the same as chode?
Let me put it this way. You can have Santorum running all over your chode.
Right.
Can you have it on your gooch?
Well, what's your name, caller?
Oh, we're so mature.
Eric. Well, thanks a lot for your call.
You're welcome, thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, you did a Kelly on him.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, our time's up, that's all.
Oh, what a shame. More politics.
What have we learned tonight? Now
it all stinks.
Now
I haven't learned shit. I've gotten stupider.
I've gotten
stupider tonight.
The more I watch this, the stupider I got. I was already with all sorts of cogent, intelligent political analysis and stuff, and I just didn't even get a chance to do it. You know?
Well, that's because RNC has lobotomy power.
They really do. It's terrible watching
any convention, any political convention does. I could only watch a little of the Democratic convention. Teresa Hines carries a freaking nut job. She is out of her gourd.
Why? I like her.
She
speaks her mind. She actually speaks her mind.
She's such an idealist and,
you're
God,
surrounded
she's
by...
got so much money. She's crazy.
I agree with you. She's got a lot of money.
Just but
I mean,
she's
what,
crazy.
What's crazy? What is one belief that she has that you consider a crazy belief?
In her speech, she just was all over the place talking about just so many different things.
I didn't see the speech.
That I just saw it as her mind was just going in 100 directions at once. I mean, obviously it was a prepared speech, but... Girlfriend Gretchen's doing a dance.
Naughty dance.
It just dawned on me at one minute I was listening to her and thinking she was interesting and articulate, and the next I realized she was completely out to lunch.
Well, I don't think she's helping John Kerry any. And I don't think John Kerry has many people working for him or near him who are helping him any. It's fairly upsetting.
It is. Why doesn't he get a penis? He should get a penis and he should use it.
He has
John
one.
John Kerry, he should use his penis on George Bush.
Make some Santorum happen.
I would like to give George Bush delicious...
You can say it.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can say it. Delicious Santorum.
I would like to fish him.
Felch?
Oui.
Felch.
Wait, explain to the audience what felch is.
Yeah, I got it.
Because you can do that now.
You can felch Santorum.
Is felching teabagging?
Felching is sucking out the product of your love.
The Santorum.
From your lover's anus.
Yucky.
It's very good.
Even I wouldn't do that.
I like it with a red wine. Because, you know, the French, many of the reasons why we should hate them is, number one, they're lovers. And number two, they funded our revolution against the filthy British. And number three, free health care. 1 month vacation in August. A higher literacy rate per capita compared to United States. Another reason is they love Jerry Lewis. They love the comics of America, the American art forms of jazz.
They love the guy from Baywatch.
They understand good wine, the French.
Who's the star of Baywatch?
Many reasons to hate the French.
David Hasselhoff.
No, that is the Germans.
Germans. It's the crowds that love...
They love the Hasselhoff. Like,
I think the frogs like them too.
No. They only lick the German boot when it's invading the country, you see.
Okay.
They believe in a very nice homemade meal. And the French have a love for art, music, philosophy.
And stinky cheese.
And the cheese. The fromage. This is why we must get rid of the Jean Kerry, because he might understand what these French people are talking about. You see, American supremacy is paramount in a world of domination. We must destroy the French. They do not let us use the airspace to bomb someone else's enemy. The Libyans were our enemy, but now they're our friend. The Iranians, they were our enemy, but now they're our friend. The Iraqis, well, they were our enemy. We love them, now we hate them. Afghanis, we give them weapons to fight our Russians, to stop the prevalence of communists, and so now we must kill the Afghanis because they decided they do not like a corrupt culture. They don't like it when we turn their boys into shoeshine boys, their women into whores. So this is why a vote for Bush is a vote for supremacy. Our nation shall be strong. And the atomic weapons that we have given all the other nations will be rounded up again. No refund. No refund. No guarantees. No warranties. I love weapons grade plutonium. It is very good. We must round up it all and put it in a big vault. Big vault in the southwestern desert. Many years later from now, we'll find out, oh, that southwestern desert was so, so very important to our ecosystem. But of course, we fucked it in the ass. And this is, again, why we must strip mine the Amazon. I say, give them all the machetes they need to cut down their forest. Who needs this oxygen? If you cannot afford it, you should not have it. This is my law. This is why I love this country and I hate the French. Because the French, they don't have a big weapon. They have very tiny weapon. But they use it all the time. Adultery is a very commonplace in France. I believe this is because they are not perverse. They like to masturbate. There's nothing wrong with a little masturbation. And what's better to masturbate instead of a woman?